Now then, welcome to the Healing School on July the 12th of 2008. We have one of these healing schools, as many of you know, the second Saturday of every month. Now, we've been doing this for about 15 years, and this is not the normal thing that you have, but God has called me out to be about this business. And, of course, he confirms what I teach from his word with many wonderful signs and miracles and wonders. And I'm so grateful, because if what I was teaching you, he didn't show up, you'd know I was teaching a lie. But since God does heal many and many, and, of course, some of you in this room have been wonderfully healed at one time or another. And, of course, many of you have received a little healing or something at one time or another. But some of you here have received healings from lifelong incurable diseases. And of course, I hope Liz don't mind if I point her out, but this lovely daughter of the king right here just walked in there. That beautiful lady over there, her and her husband have moved this area from, she moved here from Louisiana. And of course, as a young woman, she contacted Lyme's disease, and she had no idea what caused it. But it was sin. And it took us a while to find her sin. And when we finally got her sins all confessed, then we prayed for Liz, and God completely, totally healed her. And that's been, what, Liz, 4 years ago. 4 years ago, she's been completely healed of an incurable disease. And, of course, the beautiful part about it was her doctor down in Louisiana, that when she went back and told him that she was healed, he told her it's impossible. Nobody gets healed of Lyme's disease. But he had it, too. And he wanted to know how she got healed. She told him. He contacted me. I sent him some tapes. The doctor listened to it and prayed, and the doctor got healed. And that's a wonderful thing. In fact, he invited me to speak at a university down there in Louisiana where he was teaching. He was a doctor. And so I got to go down there. And, of course, he introduced me that day. I said, the reason this man is here in this university to teach you how to get healed is because you can't fight against results. He said, I'm a medical doctor. He said, I had a terminal disease, which is incurable, which is Lyme's disease, which there is no cure for. And after listening to what this man said and after prayer, I am healed. And he told Liz's story also about how he knew her and how she had been healed. So he said, this has changed my life forever. So I praise the Lord for the privilege to teach God's word, don't you? You know, I praise the Lord for this great and awesome privilege. So today I'm going to start out, with a little word of prayer, and then I'm going to start out in the Word of God, and I'm going to show you what makes you sick and who makes you sick. And if you listen to some of my old tapes, you'll find out that I taught some things wrong a few years ago. And if you happen to get a hold of some of those, and you know, 15 years ago, the first teachings I made was 10 or 15 years ago, I guess. And some of those, I didn't have enough knowledge. I did the best I could with the knowledge I had. But over the years and my study of God's Word, many hours every week I spend in the Word, and God continues to reveal to me things that shock me. And it shocks many others. And so as I'll show you from the Word. Because if I try to tell you, if I try to say, well, this is what my opinion is, then you're going to remember my opinion. Well, let me tell you. Opinions don't count. They don't count. Only what God says counts. So I've told several people in my life when they say, well, this is my opinion. I say, well, I don't care what your opinion is. It don't count. They sometimes get offended when they say, but I have an opinion. Well, that's okay. If you don't line up with the Word of God, it don't count. You know, only God's Word counts. And I'm going to show you that in the Scripture too today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for the privilege once again to come here on July the 12th of 2008 to teach your word to your people. Lord, I thank you and praise you for bringing those that are sick and afflicted here today. I thank you for bringing those that are not sick and afflicted, those that just want to learn more about your word. But Lord, for those that are sick and afflicted, I ask you to reveal yourself to them in a mighty way. Show them what's available today and let their faith be built. And let them receive you, the healer, by faith today, that when they go away from here today, they'll not be sick anymore. Now, Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for the thousands you've healed up till now. And I want to thank you and praise you for the millions you're going to heal in the future. Now, Lord, I thank you for showing your church these wonderful things. And I give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to start out today with a scripture under the law in Exodus 15:26. Every time I see somebody come in a wheelchair from that side, that lets me know one more time I should get my ramp built at the front door out here. Lord, I should do that. And I will do that. I'm working on that. I mean, I got so many irons in the fire, praise the Lord. I don't spend many hours a day working, only about 16 every day. And so I guess I should do more. But I'm trying. I enjoy working, though. I enjoy serving the Lord. You know, I have fun in life. You know, yesterday I got up. I might say that I was going to go buy some steel to put on a building I'm building here. And Cheryl said, what are you going to do in the morning? I said, well, I'm going to try to go get that steel. But I said, yesterday afternoon I went up and hooked up to the trailer with the truck. And I realized that when I hooked up, the inspection ticker went out in June. And this happens to be July. So I said, first thing I got to do tonight after I get through working after dark, I'm going to bring the truck in the shop and I'm going to check everything to make sure everything works. And then I'm going to go get that sticker. And then if I, whatever, how long all that takes, then I'm going to go over and get the steel. And so I said, she said, what are you going to do this afternoon? I said, well, I'm going to load the steel. I have them take it down there and weld it on the top of the building. And so I did and took it down there, drove the truck down there, hauled it down there, and then got it all up and started to crank the truck. And it won't start. I thought, now what is this? I spun it over and over and over. Come back and got me some ether and went down there, give it a shot. Crank on ether, but it died. I thought, oh, yeah, I prayed. Oh, yeah, I prayed. But it still wouldn't crank. So I thought, okay. So when I got back, she said, what are you going to do in the morning? I said, okay, everything's changed. First thing we'll do in the morning, fix the truck. When I get the truck where to start and I bring it back up here, then I'm going to check the lights and all that stuff. And then I'm going to take it and get a sticker. And then if I got time, then I'm going to go get the seal. So everything changed. So I went down there the next morning early and the fuel solenoid valve, for some strange reason, the low energized side of it wouldn't make contact. So I had to take the fuel solenoid valve off, take it apart, clean it up, file the points, put it back together, and then it started. Great. Thank you, Lord. I didn't have to buy an expensive solenoid. I was able to fix that one. So then I brought the truck, disconnected the trailer, brought the truck back up and put it in the shop and checked the lights. And some of the lights didn't work. One of the tail lights wouldn't work. Had changed it out. One of the clearance lights wasn't making a good ground. Had to take it apart. So anyway, all this takes time. You know, finally got everything done, got everything fixed, all the lights and everything. And then I thought, well, now I'll take it over and get a sticker. So I ran over to the place to get a sticker, and there was a long line ahead of me. So I sat there for 2 hours. And they finally got me a sticker on my truck. And I read one of them was a Christian magazine there, and one of them was a Motor Trend magazine. But I read them from cover to cover, both magazines. I normally don't read magazines. But one of them was a Christian magazine. It was quite interesting what they had to say about Christian people. Now, one of the articles in there I read, I thought was very good. Some well-known, big, powerful man of God. And he said, it's time Christians come out of the closet. It's time we start walking in obedience to God's word. It's time we start saying what God's word says and don't apologize for it. And then I read an article when I got, I think it was later over in that book, or I don't know where it was, but somewhere that afternoon I read about a homosexual pervert that was suing a publishing company for a hate crime because they published Bibles and Bible says it's wrong to be a homosexual. And the suit was for $70 million. So the caption below said, why don't this guy sue God? He's the one who wrote the book, not the publishing company. But do you know, also I just learned yesterday in that scripture, I believe it's Matthew 24, where it says, I think it's Matthew 24, anyway, where Jesus made the statement, in the days that he returned, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days that I return. All of you have heard that scripture, right? You know, well, you know, you never think what that means. But I listened to an article written on my email stuff, and you can listen to some of the stuff. And there was a guy talking, and he says, a Jewish guy that studied the scriptures in detail, and he says, in the days of Noah was the only time in history there's ever been a time when man wanted a law to marry man and woman wanted a law to marry woman. Said there's been homosexuals forever. Sodom and Gomorrah was full of them, but there was never a demand for people to be married that are alike. But today there is. So he said the first time in 6,000 years, last time man demanded that man be able to marry a man and woman marry a woman, said God destroyed the whole world with a flood, all of them. Well, I mean, this is going to go out on tape, and I don't care who hears this. I'm going to tell you, and I don't believe this is my opinion. This is God's word, that in California, it's documented that they have never had over 540-something lightning strikes in any given year to start fires in the state of California. Yeah, no, last year, there's never been a year with more than a little over 500 lightning strikes in the entire state of California that started fires. That's a lot of them, though. But one day after their governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, went over the head of the people said they don't want man marrying man and woman marrying woman. But the governor went over their head and made a law that is legal. And the next day, lightning strikes started hitting the state of California, and they've not stopped. And there's been thousands and thousands and thousands of lightning strikes that have burned thousands and thousands of square miles of California, and the state's almost broke, and the federal government's sending aid. There's over 1,750 firefighters from other states and over 1,000 pieces of equipment and over 80 helicopters been sent in day and night. Men are working day and night trying to contain the fires in California. And scientists say this is a normal phenomenon. I'm going to tell you this is a curse from God. I don't care what your opinion is. I'm going to tell you this is a curse from God because it's written in His Word. He was ticked off with that decision they made. Who's in control of the lightning? God. Who's in control of everything on this earth? God. You know? And so He ain't happy. I mean, who sent the storms and the floods up and down the Midwest to destroy so many towns and homes and everything else? God. He ain't happy with us. He's not happy. And that's why we got the problem we got. You know, now then, until we as Christians rise up and say, hey, I mean, I guess pastors are going to have to completely do away with their 501c so they have the government has no control of us under these new rules or these rules that was written in our Constitution. Total separation of church and state. You know, the government's not to have any power over what I do as a man of God. You all know that? They're to have no power. According to the Constitution, I have the freedom to preach the Word of God any way I want to. You know? And so that's what I'm gonna do. That's what I'm gonna do. You know? I do know that with what's on the books, this is a little bit for a healing school, this is just a little free information. But I had the privilege to talk to a man of God the other day that's a retired military man. And he has a great friend. We talked to him over the phone. And he used to be a big man with FEMA. And then another man out in Abilene, which was over the entire Abilene area with FEMA. And they had a big boy from Washington come out and start explaining to them about all these concentration camps they're building all over. You know, there's a big concentration camp right up here at Denton, already totally complete. And Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth is being, right now as we talk, being turned into a concentration camp for prisoners. Who are these people going to be? We're living in America. Isn't that strange? But there's several of those camps already totally here. And when you see the letter from FEMA, they have a red and a blue list. And this is startling. this man that was in Abilene the other day that I know, and the man that's in Arkansas that I know, that were big men with FEMA, have now left FEMA. This man says, whenever they sent the big man out here to Abilene and we were having a meeting, he said there's going to come a time when there's going to be martial law, and when anybody that does not act right, anybody that rebels, anybody that does anything that's not right, you are to take these people and put them in these concentration camps. And he said, I made the statement to the man. I said, but sir, these people live here. They own this land. It's theirs. They've worked hard for America. They bought it and paid for it. Some of them have even been in the U.S. military. And these people have rights. He said, if they do not do what you say for them to do, you just kill them. He's talking about killing U.S. citizens. Is that kind of a slap in the face? Hey, I fought in Vietnam. Some of you men may have fought in other wars. I went to war to fight for this country. And now then, if they come here and say, we don't want you living here no more. This land's mine. It's paid for. I worked hard for it. I bought it. I paid for it. They say, we're going to lock you up. We're going to take you because you're a pastor. I'm either on the red or the blue list as a pastor. Every pastor in America is either on the red or the blue list. If you happen to be on the blue list, on the red list, the instructions we got from FEMA is that they take you to the camp, and the first thing they do with you is they kill you. Isn't that something? And then if you're on the blue list, they interrogate you and get the information they want from you, and then they kill you. But everybody on the red and blue list gets killed. Does this sound like America? Not the America we know, does it? So it's time the church starts doing something. And God is raising up a group of people. And He's showing us what's going to happen. And you're going to have to go through some awesome things in the near future. So, you need to go through those things well. You don't need to be sick. Because if you're sick, you're going to have a real problem. Let me tell you, you need to be well. And God's provided a way for you to be well. But He's provided something. He's provided some demands. And after I show you today some of the things I'm going to show you, I'm going to show you what He said. And I'm going to start off in Exodus 15:26. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, this is a powerful verse for healing school. In Exodus 15:26, and said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I, God, will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, who is it that's going to heal you?
Lord.
Who is it that's going to make you sick? A lot of people miss that answer. I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have put, the Lord, have brought upon the Egyptians. Now, who brought the diseases upon the Egyptians?
The Lord.
The Lord. Now, He may have used the destroyer or the devil to get it done, but God's in control. And don't ever think for a second, as we go through this word, if anything happening to you in your life, God's behind it. He's in control. If you're sick, He made you sick. If you're under a curse, He put you under a curse. But what caused it? You did. You were the one that made the wrong decisions. You were the reason that you're sick. Not anybody else, unless you're sick because of a curse. And then it could very well have been your parents, your grandparents, or several generations back down the line. Do you know that if there's anything that virtually every family in the world is under the curse of Deuteronomy 23:2? Now, Deuteronomy 23:2, I want to take you to this Deuteronomy 23:2, and I want you to see what it says here. A bastard. Now, I made that statement to a young man one day. I was a manager over a large group of guys, and one of them was having all kinds of trouble, and he came into my office, wanted a day off. And I told him, well, son, I really can't let you off on that day because there's too many other guys off on that day. I said, what's the problem? He said, well, I got to take my sons to a doctor. I said, how many sons you got? He said, two. And I said, both of them having a problem? Yes, both of them having a problem. I said, well, why don't you let your wife do it? He said, I'm not married. Well, I said, well, how long have you been divorced? He said, I ain't never been married. I said, you got two sons and you ain't never been married? I said, so you got two bastards. He didn't like that. Now, who called him a bastard? What God called him? He said, if you got a child that was born out of wedlock, and boy, today, that's common. Even in a church, that's common. That should never be. And you might be one. If you are, there's hope. Praise God. But you got to learn the answer. If you don't learn the answer, you're under a curse from God. He says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation. You and your children for 10 generations are cursed if somebody was born out of wedlock. Now, you show me a family today that hadn't had somebody born out of wedlock in 10 generations, and I'll show you there ain't no such thing. Every one of us fall under that curse somewhere. I don't even know my grandparents back 10 generations. Do you? No. But some of you may think, hey, I done this. I've got a son, or I got a daughter, or I had sex with some woman that I wasn't married to, and she got pregnant. And you know, some men have had sex with women that they didn't know they were out of town, and the woman got pregnant. You got a son or a daughter somewhere, and you don't even know who they are. I had a man that did that years ago when he was lost, and then he got saved. And he quit running around in the world. And this one woman he was sleeping with, living with, he kind of thought right at the end, just before he got saved, he kind of thought maybe she might be pregnant. And she told him she wasn't. But she lied. And he got saved, and when he did, he knew he had to quit his lifestyle, and so he left. And he never saw her again. A few years later, he met a lovely Christian woman. Now, he's a Christian on fire for Jesus. And they get married. They have some beautiful children. And their children are way on up there. You know, 14, 15, 16, whatever. And all of a sudden, the mother, the woman, gets a phone call one day. And it's another girl. A woman. And she wanted to come see her daddy. And she just had a baby out of wedlock. And she wanted to bring the baby to see her real daddy, which she had never seen in her life. But she had found out who he was. And this woman was devastated. My husband was sleeping around with another woman and had a baby, and I didn't even know it. And she was heartbroken. I had to minister. That woman drove up here and sat down with me, and I had to minister to that woman. I told her what he did. She said, Thurman, I was a virgin when he married me. I said, I know. You were raised up in a Christian home. You done what was right. But I said, he lived in the world, honey. I mean, he lived in the world. I said, he did everything wrong. But I said, the thing you've got to remember, when you married him, he had now become a born-again Christian. And he was not living in that lifestyle. I said, now, when you married him, when he got saved, Jesus washed him and cleaned him from all that past. But did that do away with the girl? No. And what's the first thing happened to her when she got big enough? She went out and had sex out of wedlock, just like her daddy did. The curse passed right down to her. And now she's got a child out of wedlock. I told her, I said, you know, the best thing you can do is let that girl come to see her daddy, and you be a living example of Christ, because she needs to know Jesus. I said, that baby that she's got needs to know Jesus. I said, if you turn your back on her, she's going to be out there in the world. Her and that baby are going to be lost, and they're going to die and go to hell. I said, that's not what God sent us here to do. But can you understand how it broke her heart? Sure. You know, if you had married a man or a woman, and you thought they had never been with another human being in their life, and 10 or 20 years later you found out that this man or this woman that you married had slept around with two or three guys or had a girl, had a baby out of wedlock, you wouldn't be happy about it either. But that's just the way life is. But he says right here, a bastard or a child born out of wedlock shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So there's a lot of people that go to church that really can't enter into the congregation of the Lord because they have never learned how to break that curse. They're under a curse. They're under a curse. Now then, Exodus 23, 25, and 26. Exodus 23, 25, and 26. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I, God, will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now then, if we serve the Lord, if we keep his commandments, we would go back to that Exodus 15, 26 a while ago that we read, the very first one. If we study his word, get into his word, read his word, and obey his commandments and all his statutes, how much sickness did God say he would put upon us?
None.
Now then, what does that mean? If you disobey, what's going to happen to you? He's going to put it upon you. And he's the one going to do it. He will speak that curse over you, and it will make you sick. Now, the reason I can teach these things so profoundly is because about 25 years ago, somewhere in that neighborhood, many years ago, I had been a Southern Baptist Christian since I was 11. I accepted Jesus in a little Southern Baptist church in Cross Plains, Texas, when my mother and dad lived out there. And I didn't have a clue what I had in Christ. But when you became a Christian, you didn't either. You just knew you got saved. And some of us never go through our whole life and never learn what we have in Christ because we spend too much time in the world and not enough in the Word. But the Lord says, stay in His Word. So when we get in His Word and study His Word, we learn these things. And as I began to study and learn many years ago, after about 10 years of dedicated study in God's Word, I'm talking about sometimes 2 or 3 hours a day, maybe more, 5, 10, 15 hours every week for 10 years, as I studied and meditated on this book, I began to get great revelation from God. And then one day I finally got enough revelation from Him that when I learned the word sozo, I learned that word means saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. When I learned that and I found out that word sozo was used 120 times in the Greek New Testament, that one word, I went to the Lord and I asked Him a question. I said, Lord, now He'd spoken to me several times at this point, so I'd heard His audible voice. I went to Him and I said, Lord, I got to know if all this means what it says, I got to know why I have been sick so many times since I was 11. So, Lord, I said, from the time I was 11 till now, which was about 45 years old at that time, I said, Lord, I've been sick. I mean, I've had the flu. I've had pneumonia. I've been down in my back several times. I've had all kinds of problems in sickness and disease. And I said, Lord, if this is all true, it appears not only did you save me on the cross 2,000 years ago, but it appears if I read and understand this right, you healed me on the cross 2,000 years ago. So I said, Lord, if this is true, why have I been sick so many times? He said, son, I am a faith God. And without faith, it's impossible to please me. Now, he's speaking this audibly to me, but anybody know where that scripture's at? Hebrews 11, 6. I mean, that scripture clearly says the same thing. And he said, you have, since I'm a faith God, and without faith it's impossible to please me. And he said, you have never received me as your healer by faith in my word. Well, that night, 20-something years ago, I knelt on my knees right there, raised my hands, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I see this now. I see that by faith I have to receive you. I said, I've done my best all my life to walk holy in obedience to your word. I said, Lord, I've tried. And I said, I know you know how hard I've tried to be holy and stay in your word and keep myself clean and pure from all the world. I said, Lord, you know I turned off the television. You know I turned off the magazines. You know I turned off the newspaper. You know I did all those things. And Lord, I've done everything I can to be faithful to my wife, which I have been. I've been totally faithful to you, totally faithful to my wife. I've tried everything, Lord, to do everything in accordance to your word. But still, I have been sick, and I don't understand why. Now, I understood. I had sinned because I'd not received him as my healer by faith in his word. So that's a sin. Somebody said, gee, that's not a very bad sin. Well, in God's sight, sin is sin. And he says, anything that you do, in fact, in Romans 14, he's talking about several things, but mostly eating. And he said, if you don't eat in faith, you're in sin. Now, isn't that something? So the last statement he makes in Romans 14, 23 says, anything you do that's not according to faith or according to my word is sin. So I wonder how much we sin. Ooh, way too much. Is that true? Way too much. But see, my opinion is God understands. But my opinion don't count, does it? No, my opinion don't count. It's only what God says. He says, oh, there that is, Romans 14, 23. Phil put it up there. And he that doubteth is damned if he eats, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now then, if faith, somebody said, well, what is faith? You know, I can give you this definition from what I've observed. Faith is God's word. Faith is knowing God's word and acting on God's word. That's what faith really is. And so when I received Jesus that night, 20-something years ago, as my healer, what does he say? That whatever you believe in your heart, in Romans 10, he's talking about how to get saved, in Romans 10, 8, 9, 10, that you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord, believe in your heart the Father raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Is that what he says, brother? Yes. And then if that word right there says you'll be saved in the last verse, or last word of verse 9, that happens to be the word sozo. And so that means healed. So if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is my healer, after you've repented of every sin. In other words, when you got saved, how many of you went out and told somebody, I'm saved? Well, see, he said, with the mouth, confession is made. So, you know, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the first thing you should do is walk up to somebody and say, guess what happened to me last night? I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I got saved. I'm born again. Oh, somebody say, you old dummy, you. You didn't get nothing. You know, an old wicked guy like you, they ain't, you know, not even God could save you. You know, somebody will tell you that. You know that? The devil will do everything he can to steal your salvation from you. He'll tell you. Oh, I mean, you got saved. I mean, you might have been the wickedest guy in town. And you got, and you might have had a foul mouth and everything else. And you went to church and got saved. Ooh, you're all happy. And the next morning you're going along, you stub your toe and fall down and you say, oh, that blankety blank. Look. And the devil whispers in your ear, you didn't get nothing. Listen to them nasty words coming out of your mouth. I mean, your body didn't get saved last night, did it?
No.
Your spirit and soul got saved. Now you got to work on the rest of it. You got to read the word, and you got to learn how to overcome those things. In fact, I've had several people ask me, did you ever get into that? Well, unfortunately, working in a shop with guys, I did begin to, well, I wasn't raised up with this at home, but when I went out in the world, started working, and the other guys using all these foul words and things, guess what kind of started coming to me? That stuff jumping off on me. And so, you know, I used a few foul words. Every time I'd use a foul word, something in me would say, you know, that doesn't glorify me. You know, I mean, that was God working on me, wasn't it? I mean, he's working on me. And so one year after I'd done this for 2 or 3 years, whatever, I don't know, I knew this was wrong. And so I said, Lord, I made a New Year's resolution one year. I said, Lord, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution this year. I'm going to guarantee you, Lord, this year I'm not going to use another foul word. And lo and behold, I might go a month and I'd do something or something as a mechanic, a wrench is slipping, I'd hit the side of the car with my hand, tear the skin off, and, you know, a foul word come out of my mouth. And the Lord would remind me, you said you wasn't going to do that no more. After another year. And I didn't make it. I messed up several times. Now, I know none of y'all ever made a mistake like this but me. But anyway, I didn't make it. So the next year I said, okay, Lord, I found out one thing this year. Me can't do this. I ain't big enough. So I said, Lord, I'm going to ask you to take away all the foul words. I'm going to ask you to take a wire brush. Now, I'd been a mechanic, and I'd cleaned a lot of old dirty car parts, and I know when I put them over in that vat, I got to have a wire brush to get the crud off of them things, because they don't just wash off easy. That stuff cooked on there. I said, Lord, will you take that wire brush, like you did David, and create in me a clean heart? Now, guess what can happen when you ask God to create in you a clean heart? He can do it. That's right, brother. He can do it. So the foul words went away. I mean, it's just, in fact, I remember one day I was out here at the airport helping some guys, electricians, do some work. I wanted to get something done in a hurry that night, and so I was a manager, but I thought, I'll help them. So I went up there, and I'm trying to hook up an electrical disconnect there, and man, I'm turning that screwdriver, and right by the door of that electrical disconnect, and that screwdriver slipped off that screw, and my hand went through, and my thumb hit that disconnect switch right there, and it just, from the thumbnail back plumb, just laid it open. I mean, just gush, blood just began to gush. One of the other guys, I reached over, I said, oh, that hurts. And the guy says, I just kind of gritted my teeth, said, well, just go ahead and say it. I said, praise the Lord. He said, where'd that come from? I said, that's what's in my heart. Now, a few years ago, it wouldn't have been praise the Lord. It would have brought glory to the devil. Y'all know where I'm coming from, right? Now, if God wasn't very merciful to me, I would have been dead a long time ago. You know that? Some of y'all, I saw A.A. shook his head just like me. He knows how mean he's been in all his life. Ain't nobody but him and God knows how mean we've been. All of us have fell short many times in some way or the other. But it doesn't make it what you do, it's sin. And if God wasn't merciful, you wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here today. The only reason I'm here today in the condition I'm in, because I have done my best to serve Him and walk with Him. And 20-something years ago, when I accepted Jesus as my healer by faith and started telling people, hey, I received Jesus as my healer last night. I really got it in my heart. Just like my salvation. You can't steal my salvation from me. I know I'm saved. In fact, I talked to a little girl this last week, and I was talking to her about Jesus. And she said, you know, nobody knows whether you're really going to heaven or not till you die. Now, how are you going to answer that? Oh, honey. He, 1 John, he said, I write this to you so that you may know that you have eternal life now. Is that what he said, brother? When you die, is there any doubt in your heart where you're going? You know where you're going, aren't you? You know where you're going, young lady? You know you got Jesus in there, right? You know you got Him in there too. See, we can know, can't we? See, now how do we know these things? We know it by reading the Word of God. He sent us a love letter to tell us what belongs to us. And most of us have been too busy doing something else. Most of us have been too busy making money, building for the future. How many men have I known in my life that have been, went to school, got a good education, took no time for God, and then worked 30 years trying to build $1 million? And maybe some of them got there. And then they spend it all trying to stay well in the next 20 years. Have I seen that lots of times? Yes. Well, it would be better to have done it God's way and stay well all of your life. Like this gentleman here. He said today was his 90th birthday. Praise the Lord. This man, what do you contribute your long life to? Jesus. I knew that was going to be his answer. This man's his 90th birthday today, and he contributes his long life and his good health to the King. Amen. No question about that. He knows where he's going. When his life is over on this earth, he knows he has eternal life. You know you're going to step right into the kingdom. And you know you're going to serve him and produce fruit for him in this time, right? Absolutely. And that's how you live to be 90 years old and still be healthy. Now, I didn't personally run into him, but a person sent me some information on this man the other day. He's been an evangelist over 80-something years. An evangelist. He is 105 years old, still lives by himself, and still drives his car. 105. He lives in Oklahoma. And they said, they asked him, what do you contribute your long life to? He said, oh, it's Jesus. What do you eat? He said, anything I want to. But he said, I eat or drink anything I want, but I never put nothing in this except I sanctify it with the Word of God in prayer with thanksgiving. He has no problems, no surgeries, no nothing, 105, and totally perfectly healthy, and eats anything he wants. But who's keeping him healthy? The king. That's absolutely right. The king. Now see, this man has found the answers to life in the Word. They're in there. So, it says there in Romans 10, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be sozo. That word right there, saved, is sozo. Now, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation or healing. So, here is, if you repent of every sin, I don't care what you've got, just like I told Dave when, and of course, Dave and his wife's out in California on vacation for a couple of weeks, but when I told Dave, which was a computer science engineer that worked for Nortel, when he came to a meeting, he had an incurable disease he had had that he was born with. Now, if he was born with it, guess whose sin brought that upon him? He is? No, his parents, that's right. His parents or grandparents or somebody down the line. We don't know, but we know it was a generational curse. We know it was. Because when a baby comes into the world, if they're born with a sickness or something, it's not their sin that made them sick. It was somebody else's sin. It was a generational curse. And there's far too many babies today born with those diseases and everything, just like Dave. And I told him, I said, son, if you will repent of all your sins and we'll break the curse. And of course, when I started telling him what sin was, I said, I guarantee you Jesus will heal you. Well, now his first thought being raised up in church was, what? You guarantee Jesus will heal me? He said, there ain't nobody can guarantee Jesus will do anything. I said, I can. I've studied his word. I know the king will do exactly what he said he will do. Now then, I'm going to take you to some scriptures right here. Psalms 119:67. Now I want you to see this. Psalms 119:67. Look what the king said in his word. Now this is the first thing you got to realize. This book is the word of God. This book is cannot be changed. I'm going to show you. Look what it says. In Psalms 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept your word. Now, how many people in church, when they get sick, how many people in church that you know say, okay, God, I'm sick today. What did I do wrong? How many people ask that question? Nobody. I mean, they never think about this. But what does this say? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So you went astray and done some stupid things you wasn't supposed to do, and something happens to you, and you think, it couldn't be. I just need to go to a doctor. I'm just sick, right? That's what we say, AA? That's the way we don't have a clue. Now, if we'd have been taught these scriptures all of our life from a little child, number one, we wouldn't go astray, right? Or if we did. Right here's a perfect place for me to tell you something. The other day, I was fixing to go down and pick up my truck, my pickup. It was sitting up here by the mailbox. And Phil and Kristen was fixing to go home. And he said, Pastor, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go walk up and get a pickup. He said, well, you want to ride with us? I said, sure. Save me having to walk all the way up there to the end of the road. So I got in the back seat with their little, precious little daughter, Trinity. You know, this is the love of their life. She's a beautiful little thing. She's a little sweetheart. You're about this tall. Little bitty thing, walking, running around here, just precious. I get in the back seat with her, and she's got something kind of orange in her mouth. She's playing with it. Looks like a little round disc about the size of a nickel. I said, Krista, what is that she's got in her mouth? I said, she might swallow that. Krista turned around and looked. She said, Trinity, give that to me. And she just kept on chewing on it. Some mother reached back there and got a hold of it and said, Trinity, turn that loose and let me have it. And she bit down on it with her teeth. Does that sound just like a little devil? No, this is Trinity. This is not a little devil. And Krista, two or three times, Phil turned around and said, Trinity, turn that loose. Let Mama have it. And she would not. And so Phil reached up and got something. And when he raised up, there was a switch about that long. And one time on her neck, it did pop. And she took it out and handed it to Mama. I thought, here's a perfect example of this. Is that right? Is that right?
That's right.
Do you know that's exactly the way God has to deal with you and me? He tells us in His Word, don't do this or do this. And what do? We bite down on it with our teeth. We ate it loose. Isn't that a shame that that has to happen to us like that? And then we wonder why we come down sick. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now see, little Trinity, she just biting on that thing. She was enjoying chewing on that thing. But see, what when that thing came out of her mouth, there was four or five of them little discs she was chewing on. Man, it was all tied together. If she had swallowed that thing, do you know we could have watched her die right there? You know, that's what's so awful. You know, but see, we knew that, and that's why we didn't want that in her mouth. She's little and don't know. That's why Daddy had to give her a switch to make her turn loose, because sometimes it takes pain to save our life. Does it not? Psalms 119:89. Let's go down just a little bit further. Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. So how often is the book going to be updated? Huh? Do you know a book in the world that we don't have to update? No. I mean, if you're in computer world today, you can't get the revisions quick enough. Is that right? It's already out of date. But this book, if it was written like this 2,000 years ago, it ain't ever changed, has it? Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. So if Jesus told us way back yonder 3,500 years ago through the prophet Moses, if He wrote these things, if you will be diligent and serve Me and love Me and obey all My statutes, I will take all sickness and disease away from you. That's still good today. You know that? It's forever settled in heaven. It cannot be broken. Now then, Psalms 138:2. I want to show you this one, and then we're going to go to Job 33. I will worship toward Your holy temple. I will praise Your name for Your loving kindness and for Your truth, for You have magnified Your Word above all Your names. So what is the most powerful thing in the world? The Word. You know, it's amazing how many of us don't even study the Word. Christians, I would hesitate to ask the question. In fact, I'll ask you, but I won't ask you to hold up your hand. If I were to ask the question, how many of you have read the entire Word of God at least one time? If you'd asked me that question after I'd been a Christian 20 years, I could have said, I ain't never read it one time. I mean, you know, I go to church and Sunday school, but I read just little bits and pieces. But to read the whole book? No, I don't read it. I never have. You know, it's too big a book. But now then, I've read it many times, some of it thousands of times. I mean, I carry the New Testament with me in my car, one of my cars, all the time, my pickup or whatever. And I don't ever listen to anything but God's Word. And sometimes I'll put two or three chapters, or depending on what it is, how long it is, like 1st, 2nd Corinthians or something like that. And I may listen to 1st and 2nd Corinthians 10 times in the next 2 weeks. Just listen to over and over and over. And, you know, it's amazing how God will every once in a while just, hey, and you say, I know I've listened to that 10 times this last week. That wasn't in there last week. That's got to be something new today. But it'd been in there all the time, hadn't it? He does it to you too, doesn't He? Yes, He does. He does it to all of us. He does it. Now then, I'm gonna take you and show you what God does. When I talked about a while ago when Phil switch Trinity with that little switch. And of course, I got tickled at him. I said, you know, isn't it amazing how the Lord told us that the rod of correction will drive the evil far from our children? He said, well, you know, Thurman, if you're in a store or somewhere, you have to be very careful how you do this. He said, because you take a switch like that to make one of them behave in a store. If the wrong person see you, they turn you in for abuse to your children. Isn't that sad? Now, see, that's when the Christian world needs to rise up and say, hey, we're obeying God rather than you. And if we would stick together, we could get something done. But we won't stick together. And the reason we don't, because we don't know nothing. People that say they're Christians, they don't know nothing. Just like I was. Didn't read the Word. Don't know what it says. I want to take you to Job in the King James. We're going to go to King James in Job 33:14. We're going to start with Job 33:14, and we're going to read several verses here in the King James of Job 33:14. For God speaks once, yes, twice, but yet man perceives it not. Now then, the NLT right there says, and God speaks to us again and again. And that's probably a little bit truer than yea once and then twice. Because I got a feeling God speaks to us sometimes, many times. Just like I was thinking how all this stuff, I mean, I got so tickled when I'm not the spiritual authority over little Trinity, so I didn't have the power to tell her to take that out of her mouth. Now, if Mom and Dad hadn't been there, I would have. I'd have done it. But I would never let her chew on that. But since they were there, I told them. And, of course, Mama, you know, first line of the spiritual head, told her to take it out, and she didn't. And told her again and tried to take it out of her mouth. She would not turn it loose. And Daddy told her, and she still wouldn't listen. So were they telling her over and over? Yeah. See, God does us the same way, doesn't He? Why were they telling her over and over? Because they hated her? No, because they loved her. Look what it says. For God speaks yea once, yea twice, yet man perceives it not. Then it says, if we don't listen when He speaks to us, and of course God can speak to you many ways. He can speak to you directly out of His Word when you're reading the Bible. He can speak to you out of another man's voice, another woman. Walk right up to you and say something to you. In fact, when I was over here, there was a young man, 33, 4 years old, that had a master's degree from the seminary, and a Baptist seminary, and he was our Baptist preacher over at Justin. And when he got ready to leave here, after he'd been here a few years, I was wishing him well and all that stuff, and he said, Thurman, I've never met a prophet in the Baptist church. But he said, you're the closest thing to it I've ever seen. I said, well, I'm not a prophet. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, you have no idea how many times I'm praying, God, what do I need to preach on? What subject do you want me to cover? And said, so you just kind of walk up to me as you start out and shake my hand and said, good message today, Brother Martin, but it sure would be nice if you preached on this sometime in the very near future. And he said, that was already in the back of my mind. And then he said, when you said it, he said, I just knew there's God talking to me. Well, see, if you're tuned in to God, who lives in you? God. Is that right? The Holy Spirit, Jesus, lives in you. And if you'll make yourself available, He will speak His word right out of your mouth. Have you ever had words come out of your mouth that glorified God that you think, where did that come from? I mean, that is God, wasn't it, brother? He had a word for somebody, and you walk up, patted somebody on the shoulder, and said something, you think, good grief, where'd that come from? Well, it was the Lord, and He was telling somebody something. But He used your mouth and your voice to get it done. But He said God speaks once, twice, and then not only will He speak through His word, not only will He speak out of your mouth, but He'll speak, somebody will send you an email, a letter, or whatever. But He'll try His best to get through to you, and you wouldn't listen. So He says, then He sends you a dream. Now, does everybody have dreams? Everybody has dreams. Sometimes your dreams are sweet, and sometimes your dreams are terrifying. Is that right? Wow. Look what He says. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in slumbering upon the bed. Who's sending this? God is. Okay, the next verse. Then He opens the ears of men, and He sealeth their instructions, that He may withdraw man from his purpose, from man's purpose, and hide pride from man. Now, only a few healing schools back, for the first time in my life, I saw what happened to Hezekiah. I mean, I'm reading there in the Kings and Chronicles and everything about Hezekiah's a good king. He served God. He did what was right. And I'm reading along there. And now then, I mean, King Sennacherib came over and God sent angels or an angel and killed all 185,000 of his soldiers. And all kinds of good things happened. And after that, all kinds of gifts and everything was sent to Jerusalem, to the Lord and to Hezekiah. And it said, And Hezekiah's pride rose up in him. Oh, I'm somebody. Look what I did. And then the next statement says, and during this time, Hezekiah became deathly sick. But what? Here he is, a good king. And now he's sick. Okay, Lord, this shoots a bullet hole in my theory. Sin brings forth sickness and disease. I got to go back and find out what caused Hezekiah sick. Well, right there it was. Pride. When the pride rose up in him, God didn't like it and he struck him sick. Near unto death. Wow. How old was he? 40. He repented and got right with God, and God only gave him how many more years? 15. So he was still only 55 when he died. Now, hey, for you and me, that sounds pretty young, don't it? Me and you both several years older than 55. And we wasn't ready to go home at 55, was we? Absolutely not. Then he opens the ears of men, seals their instructions, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. 18 and 19. He keeps back his soul from the pit or from hell and his life from perishing by the sword. In other words, if man don't listen, he's destined for the pit or hell, and his life, he's going to be killed by the sword. He says, he is chastened also with pain. Now, wait a minute. This is the part I really don't like. You know, there's only one thing I hate worse than pain. More pain. I don't like pain. Do you, brother? Do you like pain in your body? Eric, do you like pain when your body hurts? No, I don't like it either. Well, he says, now he talks to us, and he does all these things. He gives us dreams and visions and all these things. What did he say he's trying to do? Save us from death. Save us from dying. But we don't listen. We just keep on doing what we're doing. So he said in verse 19, man is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain. I really don't like that. Do you? Now, why did God do this to man? Because of sin. Because of sin. Verse 20 and 21. Let's go on here a little bit. So that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul even dainty meat. In other words, have you ever been to a hospital with a man that's hurting? He's got cancer. He's wasting away. And you bring in the most dainty morsels of meat that's so good, or food or whatever it is, and ask him, do you want something to eat? And he says, oh, they don't even look good. I don't want nothing to eat. You seen people like that? Isn't that sad? His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. You know, just a few weeks ago, a man called me. And he said, Thurman, I've got a good friend over in Denton in the hospital. He said he's been comatose for 6 weeks. They say he ain't going to make it. He said, would you go over there and pray for him with me? And this man is a member of Kenneth Copeland's church. He goes to church, not the sick man, but the man that called me. I said, sure, I'll be happy to go with you. So I went out to meet him, and I said, now, before we go talk to this man, since he's comatose, I got to know how well you know him. He said, I know him well. Been a friend of mine for years. I said, tell me what his sin is. He said, what makes you think he's living in sin? I said, because he's in the hospital comatose. In other words, the deep pain has come upon him, hadn't it, Eric? And I said, tell me about his sin. So he began to tell me about how his old high school flame had come back into town, and how him and her had been running around together, and they were doing things they ain't supposed to be doing. Now, you reckon God had spoken to him by somebody else before now? Yeah. You reckon he'd sent some dreams and visions to terrify him? Yeah. Had he listened? No. So what was the last thing? He sent this deep pain and suffering in his body, and he still didn't listen. So now then, he's comatose. And doctor says he ain't going to get well. So I said, the very first thing we got, this man has sin in his life. He said, I know that, Thurman. I know. He said, I go to church and I read the Bible. I know this man has got sin in his life. I said, here he is laying in the hospital, comatose. And doctors say he's going to die. I said, so since he's comatose, he cannot repent of his sins. Is that true? I said, so now, Phil, we're going to hold that place right there in Job 33:21, but we're going to go from here right now at this point to John 20:23. John 20:23. I'm going to show you what you have to know in a case like this to get somebody healed. If this man's comatose. John 20:23. Now, look at this. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Do you think, as a Christian, with Jesus in you, that you can confess somebody's sins for them and God will forgive them their sins because you remitted their sin?
Yes.
Do you really believe that verse?
Yes, I
do. Now, that's kind of a mouthful, isn't it? I mean, the average person don't believe that. In fact, I even had a woman, a young woman possessed by a demon, many demons, I was sitting across the table from one day, and this woman had a gnarling in her stomach, and she couldn't been to doctors for a year and a half now, and she could not get healed, and this pain had been there for a year and a half, and so she drove hours to sit down and talk with me one day, and so I did, and I told her, I said, honey, first thing you got to do is repent of every sin. She said, Mr. Scrivener, I have every sin I know of repented of. Ever sin. I said, you married? Oh, yeah. I said, you and your husband get along fine? Oh, yeah. I said, you got any children? You got four. And I said, you homeschool them? Oh, yeah. She said, her Bible was marked up all over from cover to cover. That woman was in the book. And she said she'd repented. I said, okay, then I'm going to cast this demon out of you. And so she agreed she had one. And so I went to cast the demon out of her, and the demon manifested, and he got wild, and we were in a public place, and she started screaming foul words. Beautiful, precious little woman, Christian woman, and foul words are coming out of her mouth. You know, that's not normal. A nice little Christian woman you spent an hour and a half with that wouldn't even think about saying a dirty word, and all of a sudden she's cursing you and spitting out foul obscenities at you. Hey, that ain't her. That's the devil in her. And I commanded the devil to come out. And he said, I ain't coming out. He said, I got legal right to be here. I said, okay. I said, she said she'd repented of every sin. So what is the legal right? And so he spoke to me and he said, this stupid, I wouldn't even begin to say the words that he called her. She let me in 24 years ago when she joined the Rainbow Girls. That's a ministry of the women off of the Masonic Lodge, which is totally against God's Word. And, you know, if you happen to be a Mason, you know, man, you got a problem. You know, you have cursed yourself and your whole family. Now, who knows where the demons manifest? Who knows where they manifest? This herd of demons had come into this woman 24 years ago, and she's only having the problem for the last year and a half. Does that tell you something? Yeah. And so I said, no problem. I'll call her back up and I'll have her repent for joining the Rainbow Girls. And this demon spoke out of her mouth and did this. I am so interwoven in her brain. It will be impossible for her to ever repent of that sin. I said, no problem then. I will remit her sin. I said, John 20:23, it is written. And when I said that woman spit all over me. She leaned over and she said, nobody knows that. And those that have read it don't believe it. I said, but I know it and I believe it. And it was a demon of hell speaking out of her mouth. Almost nobody knows that verse. And those that have read it don't believe it. I said, but I know it and I believe it. So I said, I'm remitting for sins, and they're remitted, they're forgiven, because who lives in you and me? Jesus. Can Jesus forgive sin?
Yes.
Could he forgive it when he was on earth? Of course he could. And you and me are his ambassadors. We're what He uses on this earth to touch the lives of other men and women. And so I remitted her sins and commanded those devils to come out of her. And we started out with a total of 2,823 demons in this woman. And 7.5 hours later, we got the last one out of her. It was a very interesting day. very interesting day. Cheryl got to see some awesome manifestations of the devil that day. I mean, you know, she come down there with me after an hour and a half. It got so tough and she was using so many foul words in this restaurant we were in. I thought, you know, somebody's going to call the cops. They're going to think I'm abusing this woman. I said, Lord, I need Cheryl to call me. I need her down here. I hadn't said that a minute when my phone rang. She said, honey, I said, where are you? She said, I'm up in the bedroom. I said, get down here. She said, are you still with that woman? I said, yes, get down here. And so she was right down there in a heartbeat. And then she sat down with me and that woman, and she got to see what happened in the next several hours. She was there with me for several hours and got to see these demons manifest. Now, if you don't know that verse right there, and that demon is interwoven to the point, you cannot remit your sin. You can't get that person delivered, and you can't get that person healed. Sin has to be remitted before you can get healed. Now, I'm going to take you from here. I want to take you to Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to show you the line of which this goes in to get healed. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. And then 1 and 2, and maybe it's 3 also, 1 and 2 and 3. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. So what are we supposed to be doing? Blessing the Lord. Can you bless Him too much?
No.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He's got the greatest benefit package you ever seen in your life. And verse 3 tells you the beginning. Who forgives how many of your sins? But you have to ask. That's the secret. He does not just wash them away for no reason at all. You have to ask. And then He forgives all of your iniquity. And then after He forgives all of your iniquities, all of your sins, then how many of your diseases does He heal? You notice the order. He forgives you first, and then He heals you. Just like we read there in Psalms 119 a while ago, you were afflicted after you went astray. In other words, how many times as a boy or girl raising up at home were you the perfect little daughter or perfect little son that daddy come in and busted your backside? I mean, that don't happen like that, does it, brother? I mean, the way you laughed, you must only got yours busted when you were a bad boy. And you were probably like me. You probably were a bad boy once or twice. Huh? Now, see, if we would have got smart back there, if we'd obeyed daddy and believed him, we could have got by with a whole lot less punishment, couldn't we? Yeah. But you see, we're trying to learn God's Word now because I don't know about you, but I don't like punishment. Do you? I am doing my best to obey the King because I hate being sick. Don't you? And when you walk in faith and you walk in obedience to His Word, you can walk without sickness and disease. Now, praise the Lord. I, confessing with my mouth, I have received Jesus as my healer. And I've told people that now for about 25 years. And praise God, for about 25 years, I've not had one day of sickness or disease. I've not been to a single doctor for no reason. I've been able to get everything done by faith from God's Word. Now then, if everybody in the church was like me and had believed God's Word and had learned what I've learned, and of course He's trying to teach them through me, if you'll listen to His Word and obey His Word, how much sickness did He promise to take away from you if you obey Him? Don't you like that? I love it. I do not want to have to give any money to a doctor. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I met with a doctor just a couple of weeks ago. I'd been a surgeon in one of the major hospitals in Dallas for 26 years, I believe it was. And he finally was released and his license was pulled because he started telling the people, whatever you do, don't take chemo or radiation. It will kill you. They fired him. And they pulled his certificate. Isn't that something? Chemo or radiation. How many people today take chemo and radiation? Multitudes of them. Now, you ask any doctor, in fact, one of the major doctors right now today, just last week, which still works in a hospital, a good friend of mine was with him, and they were out in the mountains of New Mexico where this guy's a big, beautiful home on top of a big mountain in Mexico, in New Mexico. And only the two of them are in the house. Nobody else is there. He looked over at him, called his name, and he said, if you were to come down with cancer, would you take chemo or radiation? He looked everywhere now and said, what are you looking for? He said, if you ever tell anybody I say this, I'm going to tell them you're a liar. But he said, there's one thing ain't never going to touch my body. It's chemo or radiation. He said, but you administer that to people every day of your life. He said, I know that. I am required by law to give it to them. They have already agreed to take it. I just administer it. He said, you know you're killing them. He said, that's beside the point. A doctor. Let me tell you something else. Some of you may have read this new one. I just got an email from one of the ladies that we know, we love. And she says that they're going, within a few weeks, start vaccinating all children from little tiny ones to 18 years old with a live flu virus. And after they inject you with this, you will be contagious for up to 2 weeks. And anybody that touches you, even your skin, or if you touch lips, kiss somebody, you're going to come down with this very deadly flu. Let me tell you something. Let me just tell you something. If you don't hear nothing else I'll tell you today, don't never take an injection and don't never let nobody give you an injection. Amen. Don't take one. Because if you do, you're setting yourself up for death. You can be perfectly well and they not even find anything wrong with you. But let me give you this medication just in case. And you can start having problems and you can never get rid of those problems. Now, you want to die early? You want to die prematurely? Just go to a doctor and let them give you some drugs. You know what this doctor I sat with the other day and talked with? You know what he said? He said, that, you know where we get the drugs we get today? You know where they come from? Where does everything else we get come from? Where's it come from? Where's it made? Anything you almost, I don't care where you go and what you buy, when you look and see where it was made, where was it made?
China.
They're not a godly nation. They're as bad as we are. Maybe worse. And now they're making our drugs. Now they're making our drugs. And their requirements are nowhere close to what ours are. So if you want to die early, you just go to a doctor and let him give you a shot. I'm going to tell you there's one thing this body will never experience. I don't care what happens to me, I may die. If my king's not big enough to heal me, then it's time for me to go home. But I will never go to a doctor and let them put an injection in my body. I will not do it. I am not going. Not after the doctors I've talked to, what I've seen. I've seen people that come here sick and afflicted. In fact, Cheryl and I went to New Mexico here a while back and ministered at a church out there, and they brought a, what's that girl, 38 years old, honey? What was she? About 40. Okay, somewhere. Anyway, 38 to 40. This girl, till she was 3, was a beautiful, perfect little girl. Not a thing wrong with her. And then she went in for the series of injections that they give the little children. You know, they give you 4, 5, 6, 8 things at one time.
No, they make you
sick. Oh, they make you sick. This little girl had a tremendous reaction, and she has been an invalid from that day to this. For 35 years, that little girl's been an invalid. Can't do nothing. Can't talk. Can't do nothing. Sat in a wheelchair. All because mother took her to a doctor. I don't know about you, but I think it's time that we as the body of Christ start trusting our King for our healing. Do you agree with that, brother? I mean, if he can't heal us after the promise he put in this book, it's time to go home, right?
Though he slay me, you don't want to trust him.
Yeah.
He's not.
you know, especially when I read stories in the Bible where some king says, well, you know, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to see if the doctor can heal me. I got a problem with my feet. And Jesus says, because you went to the doctor instead of me. Yeah, King Asa, you read that story too, didn't you, brother? God says, you're going to die because you didn't trust me.
Cursed is the man that puts his trust in man.
Whoa, that's scary, isn't it? But King Asa, he could, there's no doubt in my mind if he'd have come to this word and said, Lord, why do I have this sickness in my feet? What was my sin? And Lord, if I don't know what it is, I ask you to show me. But Lord, I repent of my sin. Now I ask you to forgive me and I ask you to heal my feet. Guess what? Asa would have lived out his life. But he didn't. He went to a doctor. And if God killed him because he went to a doctor, some of us may be dying prematurely too because we don't put our trust in him. We put our trust in man. So, for whatever that's worth, but I guarantee you, there's one thing I will never do. I mean, injections are killing multitudes of people today. In fact, there was a doctor who told me a story the other day. He said, Thurman, this really did happen. And he told me what countries that was all close together. It wasn't the United States, but it was several other little countries. And said the doctors all went on strike for 2 weeks because of something. And he said the death rate went down 50% when they went on strike. He said they come back to work and it went right back up the next week. Isn't that something?
I heard something this morning. It said the biggest killer of people is medicine.
The biggest killer of people is medicine. Yeah. Tom just said he learned this morning the biggest killer of people is medicine. And it is. I mean, I'm going to trust God, you know. I'm walking in a place with God. I'm trusting Him. I know what He says. I know He said He'll forgive all my iniquity and then He'll heal all of my diseases. If I'll trust Him. But you got to trust Him. And you know, when your body's in pain and agony and hurting, you know, it's hard to trust God. Unless you're really filled with the Spirit of God and you really know the King means exactly what He says in this book. But if you can trust Him, I guarantee He'll heal you. Just like I told Dave Rosenfeld that time, I said, son, if you'll stop sinning and you'll start trusting God, I guarantee we'll break the curse over you and your incurable disease, you will get well. Well, he went through, if you haven't ever seen Sickness is Satanic Oppression, the DVD that we've got back there, it's a healing school, and about the first hour of it is Dave giving his testimony with pictures about how bad he got over the 20 months he stood on God's Word before he got healed. 20 months of sickness and pain, and he looked like Job. I mean, he was awful. But he stood. Now, how many of you can stand like that? We were raised up in the microwave technology today. Lay hands on you. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Bam, and you get healed. Now, is that the way you like it?
That's what I want.
That's what you want, right? Now, that's the way we all wanted, isn't it? In fact, my lovely bride up here, after God brought me and her together, she had so many demons in her that we had to cast out so many demons. I mean, these things, but we started going on a fast. She started breaking out with whelps. I mean, and she said, what are these things? I said, no problem, honey, just demons that are coming out. You picked them up over the years through the sin. And I said, now it's time to repent. We'll kick them out. So I kick them out, and the things would go on her face, and next time they'd raise up on her chest or whatever, and we'd kick them out, and they'd go away within a few minutes to a few hours. And then finally, she got to where that, hey, she needs prayer. She comes, and man, I was praying. She's healed, and she's praising the Lord, jumping up and down. And then one day she comes and says, pray over this. And I did. And the next day she said, pray over this again. And I said, well, I already prayed over it once. It's okay. But I said, okay. I pray over it again. About the third day she walked up to me and she says, where have you sinned? It hasn't worked. Doesn't that sound just like a good wife? I mean, she's spoiled rotten, let me tell you. Now, just like you said, you want to be spoiled rotten. When somebody prays, you want to see the results right now, right? And then sometimes that's the way God does it. But He don't always do it like that. But his answer, if you repent of your sin, his answer is always yes. See, and so my lovely bride would continue to stand with me, and sometimes it'd take 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 days, but it would go away. You know, and I say, see, I didn't sin. You know, it was just God taking his time. I said, really what he's doing, he spoiled you so rotten, he's showing you that sometimes he don't do it instantly.
But the question was related on what you taught.
I know. Oh, isn't life fun? You know, but when you've had the experience that we've had with God, you know, and seen him do what we've had the privilege to see him do, you know he's going to heal you if you repented of your sin. You know he's going to, because we've seen him do it so many times. Now, some people are not willing to do what God says, and that's what's so awful. Now then, let's go back over there to Job, where we were in 33. I think it was about verse 20 or wherever we was. Yeah, we started at 14. Okay, in verse 21, it says, his flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Now, does that sound like cancer or something today? I mean, I don't like that. Do you? It sounds really bad. Look at verse 22. It says, yes, his soul draws near unto the grave. I've been in many a hospital with a person just like this man the other day. That's the way he was. 6 weeks he'd been comatose. His soul draws near unto the grave, and his life to the
destroyer.
Who do you think that is? Who is the destroyer?
Devil.
The devil. You mean the devil is killing this man? Absolutely. Who sent him? God did. No, he didn't let him do it. He told him to do it. He sent him to do it. This man's sin, his sin is what put him in this place. And see, the devil, here's the secret about the devil. The devil just works for God. God made him. God made, in Colossians chapter 1, all things were made by God. Both visible and invisible, principalities, dominions, powers, authorities, invisible and visible. Everything was made by him and for his purpose. And nothing exists except he, God, made it. That's what it says. So who's in control of everything?
God.
He even told us in Deuteronomy, and not in Deuteronomy, but in Matthew 28, Jesus, when he stood on that hill that day getting ready to go back to heaven, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. How much?
All.
I mean, if God told you all power is given him in heaven and on earth, who has all power?
God
does. He's in control. Whether we know it or not, he's in control. And he is running the universe, and he's running the earth. He is, in other words, this earth is being controlled by God according to his word. Now then, if he gives you the freedom to make the choice you want, if you want to make him Lord and Savior, he'll save you. If you want to live on the devil's side and you want to run around and do what you want to do, he'll let you do that. He'll give you that choice. But he tells you what will happen if you do that. He tells you what sickness and disease. If every young man and young woman today would read this book and believe what it says, it would scare your socks off. I mean, boy, if you read this book, you would stop sinning. You wouldn't. If a young man out there that has those sexual desires that are so wild after he gets to be about 14 or 15 or 16 years old, I mean, if you were to really read this book to him and he believed it, man, I mean, when Paul says you need to learn how to control your vessel,
yeah.
I mean, you'd control that thing. I mean, if some young girl took you over to her house and jumped up in her mother and dad's bed naked and said, come on, let's have sex. He said, I ain't touching you, baby. I ain't touching you. No. Because you don't know who other boys she's been in bed with. You don't know what he's got. And you don't know what she's got. And you're going to turn your life over to that destroyer. In the Proverbs, it calls him the cruel one. And it says, and if you do this, he says, stay away from her house. Because it will lead you, her guests, you've led them into the pit of hell. Scary, isn't it? Well, see, people read that and think, oh, no, that's not what that means. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it means. And that's why people are sick. That's why they're afflicted, and that's why they die, and that's why they go to hell. Because this book has already made all these statements. And it can never be changed. It's forever settled in heaven. It's going to happen. Just like a young man here a while back come to me, probably 30-something. He'd been married for a little while, divorced. And he come in and said, "Pastor, I got to have you pray over me." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Do I have to tell you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I caught a venereal disease." I said, "I guess you got that eating fruit, huh?" I said, "You had sex with some woman, didn't you?" "Well, yeah, I did." I said, "Don't you know that sin?" "Well, yeah, I know, but you know." I said, "No, I don't know." "No. You have the power within you to control yourself. You don't have to go out and have sex with some woman you're not married to." I said, "If you can't control your vessel, do what Paul said. Get married. Find you a wife." But I said, "Now you got a venereal disease." Do you know when you tell young women today, "Well, I slept around with my boyfriend and we had a baby or two before we got married." Do you tell them, "Do you know that if you were living, if you actually were under the law, if we were not under grace, do you know if you lived under the law and you had sex with a boy one time out of wedlock, the people of the community are to stone you till dead?" "Well, that's your opinion." "No, that's not my opinion. That's written in the book, isn't it?" You know, we wouldn't have many second offenders, would we? Yeah, that's something. But, you know, I think we need to go back to a little of this. You know this? Something, but now see what happens is, here's what they don't understand. Although we're not physically stoning them, the law is still there. And that's why so many of them die. You know, I'll give you an example of why people suffer what they suffer. You talk to somebody and you say, "You believe in Jesus?" "Oh, yeah, yeah." "You go to church?" "No." "You know the Lord told you to go to church?" "Well, that's your opinion." "No, it ain't my opinion." Hebrews 10:25, he said, "Forsake not the gathering yourself together on a regular basis, as our manner of some are, but be in church." Every Christian should be in church every Sunday. Every Sunday. And during the week they got Bible study, they should be there. That should be the direct desire of your heart, to be about God's work first. And everything else should be second and third and fourth. But God should be number one in your life. You should read His Word every day. You ought to drive down the road praising the King, worshiping Him. And if you do that, you won't be sick. But if you don't, I guarantee you're going to be sick. So, you tell people, "Well, when you find out, are you married?" "No." "Have you been married?" "Yes." "How long were you married?" 5 years, 10 years. "What happened?" "My husband committed adultery on me, and so I left him." I said, "Oh, your husband committed adultery." I said, "Did you and him have sex before you got married?" "Well, yes. You know, we lived together 2 years, had one baby before we got married, and then we got married." I said, "Oh, you professed to be a Christian at that time?" "Well, yeah." I said, "So you tell me you were a daughter of the King, and you were out having sleeping around with another boy? Well, what's wrong with that?" I said, "You broke Jesus' heart when you did that. He told you to keep yourself clean and pure. Did He not? So you went out and you had sex with some boy and you brought a baby in the world and you were married 5 years or 10 years, and then your husband, which you loved, now you got two or three or four other babies and you love your husband, and he goes out and commits adultery on you and he breaks your heart." I said, "You know what caused him to do that?" "What?" I said, "God did that." "No way! God wouldn't have caused my husband to commit adultery on me." I said, "Oh, He wouldn't." I said, "Have you ever read the story about David?" "Yes." I said, "Do you know how David was obeying God completely and God gave him his master's house and his wives? And David had all these wonderful children? And everything was going great until one night David was up on top of the castle and he looked down and saw a woman that wasn't his wife. It was another man's wife. And he called her and had her come to his bedroom. And I'm sure this woman, when he called her, I'm sure when he told her to jump in that bed, we're going to have sex, I'm sure she said, "But King, I'm a married woman. I'm married to another man. But I'm the King. You obey me." And so what did she have to do? She obeyed him. Now, it wasn't her fault. It was the man's fault. Now, it says in the Word of God that God was very unhappy with David for this sin. I'm sure you've read this story. It's a pretty well-known story. It said the prophet Nathan came and told the story about the little ewe lamb and all the little things. When he got through telling the story about the rich man and he had all these lambs and sheep, and he said he killed the poor man's one little lamb, David jumped up and said, "Who is that man? I'll have his head." And the prophet stood up and pointed his finger and said, "You're the man." Uh-oh, David just pronounced his own death, hadn't he? Uh-oh, I'm going to kill the man. Well, you're the man. And the prophet said, "Now you're not going to die because God has put away or forgiven your sin." But he says, "This is what's going to happen to you. Because of your sin, I'm going to bring a curse upon your children. Your children will die with a sword among each other. Your children will rape each other because of your sin." He says, "Your wives, what you done in secret with Bathsheba will be done openly. Your wives will be raped on the housetops and the street corners for everybody to see. I, the Lord, will make this come to pass. And the child that Bathsheba is going to bear, I, the Lord, am going to strike that child when it's born with sickness and the child's going to die." And you know that's written in God's Word? I, the Lord, struck this child, and this child's going to die because of your sin. And right after that story's over, and then it says, one of the boys fell madly in love with his stepsister Tamar. Oh, he just, all of a sudden, he's got this wild love in his heart, but she's a virgin. And then he goes to one of his cousins, and the cousin says, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I'm struck with love for my sister Tamar." He said, "Well, no problem." He's one of them little cunning guys, you know. He says, "Go to bed and make out like you're sick. And when Daddy David comes by and asks you what's wrong, say, 'I'm sick. Would you send Tamar by to make some cakes for me?'" And that way, so he did that. And so the king said, "Okay, no problem." He never dreamed anything bad was happening. So he sent her in with a bunch of other people, and she fixed these cakes and everything, started to feed him. He gets all upset and says, "No, I don't want them. Send everybody out." Everybody goes out but her. He said, "Now I want you to feed me. It's a dangerous thing for one boy and one girl to be in a bedroom together that's not married." So she started to feed him. She's a good sister. Stepsister. She's one of the other boys' sisters, but she's a stepsister because they all come from David. Yeah. And so here she's feeding her stepbrother. And he reaches up and grabs her and jerks her down into bed with him. And she begs him, "Please don't do this to me. I'm a virgin." Said, "Ask Daddy. He'll give me to you in marriage." He would not. He went ahead and drug her down into bed and raped her anyway. And then once he had raped her and turned her loose, he got up with a hatred in his heart. He hated his sister. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how a few minutes ago he's madly in love with this girl, can't live without this girl, he's sick over her, and now all of a sudden he has sex with her, and he hates her. And she begs him not to do it, and he throws her away like a rag. What caused all that? Where'd all those signs, where'd all that come from? God. God was responsible for that. He'd already predicted that. Because of David's sin. And of course, Absalom, the brother of Tamar, he in his heart, he hated his other brother now for doing what he did to his sister. And he meditated for the next 2 years, "How I'm going to kill him." And 2 years later, he invited them all over to a party and he killed his brother. Who prophesied all this? God did. Why did it all happen? Because of David's stupid sin. And his wives, what happened to them? They all were raped, either out on the street corner or on a housetop, just like God said. Who was responsible for all that? God. Why did God move on all these people, make all these things happen? Because of one man's stupid sin. Isn't that something? This is well documented in the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
You've studied the Word. I didn't say a thing that wasn't in the Word, did I, brother? It's in there. And I can show you where it's at. It's amazing. So if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, when He makes that statement in that work, in that statement in Job 4:8, I want you to see this. Wait a minute. Before we go to Job, let me finish this. Let me finish this right here. Let's go on down. Job 33, after this man's flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out, yea, his soul draws near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyer, the devil. And let's look, see what happens in verse 23 and 24. If there be a messenger with him. Boy, this is important. Now, we need more of these messengers, don't we? If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. Every one of us should be that messenger. Every one of us should be that clean, pure interpreter that can go to a hospital room and show these things to men. And then God says, if we will go, and if there be one, one among a thousand. Now, is that sad? It ought to be, for Christians, we ought to be one-on-one. Every one of us should be righteous and holy. Every one of us should be able to go into a hospital room and plead for a man's sin and get God to forgive them and stand in the gap for him. We ought to be that holy that we can get this done. It says if you can do that and you can show unto man his uprightness, then God is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Who is that ransom today? It's our King. Jesus. Where does He live? In you and me. Right here. We go in. We stand in the gap for this man. And we pray. And He says, I have found a ransom. And the ransom of Jesus. And you, Thurman, Tom, A.A., whoever, brought him in. And you remitted their sins. And you stood on my word. And you prayed. And you're righteous now. And you know you're righteous because Jesus made you righteous. So now then, I'm going to hear your prayer. And let's see what happens in verse 25 and 26. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Are we looking for that? We love to have good, clean, young skin, don't we? Is that true? I never seen a woman that didn't want to be young and beautiful. Every one of the girls I've ever seen, they don't want to get old. They want to be young and beautiful. You stand on the promises of God and you can be that way. You know that? Amen. You can be that way. But He says there, His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Verse 26, He shall pray unto God and He will be favorable unto him and He shall see His face with joy. For He will render under man His righteousness. Now then, if we can find that man, just like this man that I went with the other day over to Denton, I explained all these things to him as we're driving over. I said, now, this man, your friend that's living in this sin, is comatose. If we don't remit his sins, this man's going to die. But I said, if we remit his sins and stand in the gap and then bring intercede for him by the blood of Jesus, I said, our King will be merciful. He'll forgive his sins and He will raise him up and restore him because it's written. I went through all these scriptures with him. The man had been comatose for 6 weeks, been fed intravenously. We go over there. I lay the word of God on his chest and I read all these scriptures. And then I pray and I ask God to be merciful to him and forgive him and raise him up and heal him. And we walk out. The next day, the man that took me over there went back to see him the next afternoon. And when he walked into the room, the man was sitting up in his bed eating himself. He'd been comatose for 6 weeks. Does God's Word work?
Yes.
Yes, God's Word works. I mean, now what if you don't find that man? What if you don't find that man that knows the Word of God that goes and pray for that man and stand in the gap for him? What's going to happen to that man? He's going to die. And maybe where's he going to go? he might go to hell, reckon? Because he was living in sin. You know, Jesus said over and over, he told us through the Apostle Paul, that if you're my child, there's to be none of these bad things among you. And he goes down and lists them, a whole list of them, not just one or two things. But he says in Corinthians and in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5 is one of the most clear. Galatians 5:19, Phil. Let's go there right quick. Galatians 5:19 and on, and I'll show you what he says there, which is kind of scary. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, are these. Adultery. Fornication. Isn't it amazing how God put sex sins right at the top of the list? Adultery and fornication. Uncleanliness. Lasciviousness. Now, uncleanliness and lasciviousness fit everything that a homosexual pervert does. Men and women that are living in an unclean sex affair with each other that we call homosexuals or perverts, this is talking about those people. What they do, uncleanliness and lasciviousness, that is the most wicked kind of sins, that's an abomination to God. And if you don't know what homosexuals do, you've never seen what they do, I mean, don't even go there. They do awful, wicked things. Awful, wicked things. And God hates it. Now, God loves the human being, but He hates the sin. And He's going to judge that sin. He says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. And man, the list goes on. 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, that's a pretty good list of stuff, isn't it? Now, who's he talking to here? Christians. He's talking to the church in Galatians. Talking to the church. But he says, those of you that do these things, I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such thing shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're a homosexual, if you're an adulterer, if you're a fornicator, you're a person living an unclean life, you're a person that's wrathful, you're angry all the time and you can't control it, and all those things, you got envyings, about all that whole list, and you say you're a Christian, if you die with all that stuff in your heart, where are you going to go? Ooh, you're going straight to hell? Ooh, that don't sound like much grace to me, does it, you, Tom?
I don't want to go there.
I don't want to go. So I ain't going to do them things, are you? Now, yeah, God is a God of grace. Because if you're living in all those places and you come to Him, He'll forgive you and wipe away all that junk. But now He expects you, when you left the left over here and went over into the right side, into His kingdom, He expects you to become a different human being, doesn't He? Yeah, absolutely. We're not supposed to live in sin once we get born again, are we? In fact, let me take you and show you why, how to get healed and stay healed. Now, we're going to go from right here in Galatians. I'm going to take you to 1 Peter 2:21-24. And I'm going to show you how to walk in divine health. I'm going to show you what's required to walk in divine health. In 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, talking about Christians, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. In other words, if Jesus left something for you and me to follow in His steps, in other words, if Jesus stepped right there, then where am I supposed to walk? In that step. If He stepped right there, if I'm supposed to be His follower and I'm behind Him, in other words, let's put it this way. If I was out there in a minefield in the military, and there was a guy that had put all these mines out, and he knew where every little blade of grass was and everything, and he knew where every mine was, if he put his foot right there, and then he put this one right here, and he put this one right, I guarantee I'm going to put mine exactly where his was, right?
That's right.
Because if you've been in the military like I have been, and you see a man walking through the jungle, he steps on the wrong place, and all of a sudden he ain't got no legs. That ain't no fun, guys. That ain't no fun. But that's what happened. The Lord has walked on this earth, and He's left steps for you and me to follow. And He says that we should follow exactly in His steps. And this is what His steps were. He did how much sin?
No sin.
So what should be the goal of the church today?
No sin.
No sin. I mean, people say, well, you know, you sin all time, every day. Have you ever heard a Christian say that?
Yes.
Sure, you may have been guilty of that. But if you were guilty of saying, I sin every day, you don't know this book. This book says you are not to sin. Somebody said, well, surely God wouldn't mind if I sin a little. But what did He say? How much sin? That's pretty clear, isn't it? Who did no sin? Now, you can sin if you want to. But it'll bring forth death. An early death. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Now, boy, that's pretty tough. Most of us, you're going to have to put about 3 layers of 2-inch duct tape around your head to keep that mouth shut. Because it's hard to control your tongue. I mean, it's hard. Then, when he was reviled, revile not again. Oh, there's some of us, boy, somebody just say something wrong to us, boy, we can tell you how the cow eat the cabbage. I mean, we can just come back at you in a heartbeat. We don't keep our mouth shut. Is that true? Ooh, some of us. I mean, somebody walks up to you and says something nasty to you, and you just sit there and smile and have a clean heart all the time. You say, okay, I ain't saying nothing to you, but I'm going to get even with you. I mean, that's most of us, right? If we learn how to control ourselves, we've still got that in our heart. That's when you need to say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Revile not again. When he suffered, he didn't even threaten them. But he committed himself to him that judges righteously. You know how hard it is when somebody says something wrong or somebody really says something nasty about you or something and you hear it, just say, oh, it's okay. I just turn him over to the Lord. Lord knows what's wrong with him. I ain't going to go there. I ain't judging him. I ain't going to say nothing about him. Is that hard? Oh, yes, that's hard. That's hard. But he committed him that judges righteously, who his own self, Jesus, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Now, how are you supposed to live as a Christian? Righteous. Every day, 24/7, there's to be no sin in your body. And if you meet all these requirements, what does that last line say? Ooh, now that part, that's why we're here at a healing school, right? To learn how to walk in divine health. If you train your children with these things, and your children, and you walk in obedience to God's Word, and you do what He says, how much sickness and disease is there supposed to be in your house?
None.
Absolutely right. None. Now, how many mothers and dads, when one of them, or one of their children, get sick, do they say, Lord, where have I missed it? What have I done wrong? Almost nobody, right? Not very many. And why do they do this? Because they've not been taught these principles from God's Word. So, when you learn these principles and do what God says, it'll change your life forever. Now then, just think, the Lord says, if you obey me and do everything I tell you to do, I will bless you and your children. I'm going to take you to the blessings of what He promised to bless you with if you obey, and then we'll take a break. But we're going to go to Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, and I'm going to show you the blessings that God promised you if you obey Him. Now, this is under the law, but it's still good for today. Under Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2, and it shall come to pass. Now, I love this. It shall, not maybe. It shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently. Now what's going to, it's going to come to pass if who does what? If you. Is this where God puts this monkey on you? Yeah, He's made the promises. And it shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice or the word of the Lord and to observe and to do all His commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Now that sounds like a good place to sit. Wouldn't you like to be there?
Yes.
Sure, anybody would. And all these blessings, wow, all of them, not one or two of them, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now then, what are these blessings? Well, let's look at them. Verse 3 and 4. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country or the field. So it don't matter where you live, whether you're a farmer, whether you're a city slicker, makes no difference. You're going to be blessed if you obey God. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. What is he talking about? What? Your children, right? I mean, if mom and dad is serving God, doing what he says, he promises to bless your children. You to have, in fact, I remember when my daughter, after she got married and she wanted to have a baby, and she got pregnant the first month after they got married because she wanted to have a baby. And after she found out she was pregnant, she came to me and said, Daddy, I'm so happy. I'm going to have a baby. And I said, well, what have you asked God for? Daddy, I've asked him to give me a healthy one. I said, is that all? She said, what do you mean? I said, honey, he's a great big God. He's a faith God. You only get what you ask for by faith. She said, well, what should I ask for? I said, good grief, you want a beautiful one, a healthy one, and a supernaturally intelligent one. Can you? That'd be a good start, wouldn't it? I mean, you see, God says if you're obedient under the new covenant, he said if you're obedient, you can come to me and ask me for anything, and I'll do it for you. And you know, most of us, whenever we have our children, we never ask God for nothing. Is that right? Oh, well, maybe he'll give me a healthy one. We don't even know enough about the promises. Oh, Lord. In fact, just the other day, it's amazing, since I've learned these principles, learned how to stand on God's Word. The other day we went to Detroit. There was a man up there who drove 6 hours to come see me. He called. And in fact, he said, I was down listening to you on GLC. And he said, I thought, I've got to call Thurman. I've got to talk to him. And he said, I went upstairs, started to reach down to pick up the phone, and the phone rang, and I looked down on the dialer, and it said, TLSM. He said, I thought, wow, this has got to be God. And he said, I picked up the phone, and it was Kathy telling me Thurman was going to be in Detroit. He said, praise God. He said, I live about 6 hours from Detroit. He said, can you ask Thurman, if I drive over there, can I talk to him personally? Because I don't want to drive 6 hours if I can't talk to him. So Kathy came in my office and said, this man wants to talk to you. I said, this man's going to drive 6 hours to see me. I'll make sure that day that I get to talk to him somewhere. Yes, I said, tell him I will talk to him. So he come to the meeting the first night, and then he said, what time tomorrow can I see you? I said, come to the hotel at 10, and I'll talk to you. And so he was there at 10 o'clock. And he came and he said, I got to show you some things, Pastor. Got out his computer and began to fire it up and all this stuff. He said, now, do you remember me? I said, well, sir, I deal with a lot of people. I'm sorry. I really don't remember you. He said, 2 years ago, my wife and I came to you in Dallas. He said, we've been married 11 years, and we had tried everything in the book to get pregnant. We've been to the finest doctors, everything, and said, my wife's even a doctor, and we could not get pregnant. Said, we came to you when we heard about your ministry, and you prayed the prayer of faith for us. I want to show you my six-month-old beautiful boy. And his computer, he had a picture after picture after picture of a beautiful little a beautiful little guy. He said, you asked the Lord to give us a beautiful, healthy, intelligent son. And said, that's what we got. And he is a beautiful little guy. Now then, under the new covenant, if you and me walk in obedience to God's word and walk in faith, he literally said, we can ask him for anything, didn't he? But we don't use that very often either, do we? We really don't. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall be your children, the fruit of your body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your goats, and the flock of your sheep. 5 and 6. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. 7 and 8. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before your face. Who's going to cause your enemies to be smitten?
The Lord.
The Lord. He's in control. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you 7 ways. Don't you like that? Now, all this is based around us serving the Lord. The Lord shall command the blessings upon you. Oh, now I really like that one, don't you? I mean, if I'm obedient and I do everything He says, He's going to command the blessings to come upon me. I can't think of nobody I'd rather have commanding the blessings upon me, brother, than the King. Can you? This girl's smiling. She loves that too. She wants to have the King command the blessings upon her. Because with Him, honey, there ain't nothing impossible, is there? Nothing. Nothing. He says, and the Lord shall command the blessings upon you in the storehouse. In other words, in your bank account. I mean, He's going to bless it. And in all that you set your hand unto, and He shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. He's going to give you everything you have. Verses 9 and 10. The Lord shall establish thee as a holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. Not in your ways, not in your opinions, in His ways. And the only way you know His ways is to read and study this book. Without knowing this book, you cannot know what God's ways are. And all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. I mean, if we as a nation were serving Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have to be concerned about going to war. Everybody in the world would be afraid of us as a nation. Do you know that? And do you know it used to be like that? In America, you speak the name of America and every country in the world bowed down. They knew we was the most powerful nation on the earth. But they also knew we were a nation that served God. Oh yeah, there's a bunch of heathens over here all the time. But there used to be a lot of good Christian people. And because the men that started this country were Christians, most of them, and because of the Christians that are still here, and because of the Christians that are here, and as well as our government, are sending aid to other people in the world, and we as a church are being evangelistic to a certain degree, I'm going to tell you that's the only reason in the world this nation still exists today. When you go down the streets and you look at the millions, which they say now 60 million babies have been slaughtered out of the womb of a mother. If I was God and I'd sent all them little creatures down here and you guys had killed 60 million of us, you know what I would do to you? You wouldn't like what I would do to you. But I got a feeling we ain't going to like what He's going to do to us. I got a feeling He's already not happy with us, don't you? Would you say He's a little long-suffering and patient and kind? Are these your children down here, sir? Or your grandchildren, okay. Those are your grandchildren, okay. If those are your grandchildren, if somebody hurt one of them today, you might get upset, right? And your great-grandchildren, huh? So if somebody hurt this boy or this girl, there'd be some people here very unhappy. You wouldn't like nobody come, just hurt them, would you? But just think, what if somebody tore one of their arms or legs off in the womb? And pulled them out and tore them apart and threw them away. I can't even go there, can you? No, I can't even think that. But that's happening to 4,000 plus children a day in America. And those little children, if that didn't happen, would grow up just like these two. They'd be grown adults just like that. Something for the King. And we're killing them by the thousands. And you want to know why we're cursed? You want to know why we're going to go to war? You want to know why all the devastating things that's going to happen on this nation? You want to know why we're going to pay severely? You don't know why we're sick and afflicted in the church? Because we've not walked holy before God. We've got sin in our life. The other day when I was in Detroit, after the first message I spoke that night, the pastor, been a pastor of that church 30 years, great man of God, sitting there at dinner, he looked at me right now and he pointed his finger at me and said, "You hit it right on the head tonight." He said, "Do you know in the city of Detroit, there is 3,000 churches?" And he said, "There's absolutely no power in this city. None." He said, "Ain't nobody seeing no miracles or no healings." He said, "When I heard your teaching and I heard what you're doing, I thought, I've got to have this man come to my church." And he said, "You made a statement tonight that stuck." He said, "When you looked out there and said, hope is available to all of us. But faith is only available to those walking holy before God. He said, that's the secret. He said, there's no holiness in this city. With a city with 3,000 churches and no holiness, he said, there's problems in every church every day. Isn't that something? And you hear people that there was a little lady up there come up the second night and asked me to pray for her marriage. I said, what's wrong? She said, I want my husband to come home. Okay, now, the question is, why did your husband leave? Well, you know, people don't want to tell you. Just pray and ask God to bring him home. Nobody's there to tell you that she was in a car with another man. And they had been doing things they wasn't supposed to be doing. And he called her just as she laid the phone down and it turned it on before it rang. And the husband on the other end of the line listened for the next 45 minutes. Everything went on in that car. So when she got home, he had her bags packed and threw her out and said, far as I'm concerned, she's dead. How would you feel? You see what I mean? You want to know why there's sickness and disease in the church? You want to know why people don't get their prayers answered in the church? There ain't no holiness in the church. If this woman had been holy, she wouldn't have been doing no dumb things like this. But do you know why these things happen? Because her and the boy she was married to had been sexually involved before they got married. Isn't that amazing? See, did the sins of David cause the same problems? So what do you think? We're going to get by with this. You think God's going to let you run around and do all these stupid things and have sex with girls and boys before you get married, and then you step over and marry some clean, pure little girl you think, and you've been a boy and you've been running around with four or five other women all the time, and you think you're going to marry her, and now she ain't never going to run around on you, and you were a Christian, you were breaking God's heart all the time. I'm going to tell you, within 1 to 3 to 5 years, God's going to put that woman with another man. He's going to break your heart. Now, you want this not to happen? Keep yourself clean and pure. Marry a young woman that's clean and pure. And you can live the rest of your life together and you won't never have to worry about it. She won't ever run around on you and you won't ever run around on her. And your children, your offspring will be blessed. Isn't that something? God really made it quite simple, didn't He? See, but this is a side of God that people don't see. They don't think God makes them sick. I didn't. You could ask me 20 years ago, who makes me sick? I'd have said, the devil does it. But see, I didn't realize the devil was working for God.
That means she could have been innocent before she found out how guilty he was.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is, what is that? Well, we'll start here when we come back. What we're going to do right quick, we're going to take up an offering for our ministry. We do this at the intercession of all of our healing schools, and then we're going to take a break. If you want to give to our ministry, if you want to give, make a check, give it out, make it out to TLSM. If you need an offering envelope, Cheryl will give you, or somebody, Sharon back there, will give you an envelope. If you're going to give cash and you want a receipt for your cash, ask Sharon back there. She will give you an envelope and you can put your money in that, and then put your name and phone number and address and everything on there where we can record it, or we can give you a receipt. And if you need an offering envelope, one of the girls will give them to you. And if you are just going to give a check, all you need to do, if it's got your information on it, just write TLSM on it and put it in the bag. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to bless the gift and the giver. And Lord, we thank you for blessing them. In Jesus' name, amen. So they're going to pass these out, and then we're going to take up an offering, and then we're going to take a break. The bathrooms are all around down the hall and down the little hallway out there. There is 6 bathrooms out there, and if those are all full and you need to go in a hurry in through the nursery, there's a 7th one back in there. Somebody will show you how to get to it back in the nursery. So there's 7 bathrooms in the building. This is a little better than when we were down at Dallas. We had 2. Up here, we got one big bathroom down the end of the hall there for those that have wheelchairs, so you have room to get around in there. A much bigger bathroom. I built one big one because I knew that some people were in wheelchairs and they need to go to bathroom 2. And so sometimes they need more room than the little one. So are we ready to pass the little sack. So if we pass this, the Lord says, given, it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. As you give unto the Lord, He'll return unto you. We don't stress a whole lot on giving. We just let God do what He wants to do. So praise, I'll just hand that back to the next lady back there on the back. And yeah, let them pass it down. Praise the Lord. We are blessed today by your attendance. And we trust that wherever you come from, that as you go back home, you will take these words and they will change you, and you'll start reading and getting into the Word. And the other night when we were at Detroit while we were taking the offering, I'll tell you that after there was 1,500 people there the second night, and there was no way I could pray for each individual person. I'd have been there forever. So I just told them, if you'll repent of your sins, I'll pray a blessing or a prayer over you. And I said, the King I serve, He'll heal you, because He's the healer. And there was just immediately one lady that had pain in both knees was instantly healed, and another lady had been diagnosed that day with breast cancer, had a knot in her breast, and had been diagnosed as malignant. She heard the promises, and she repented of her sins and stood on those. And right there in the service when I prayed, God, she had her hand on her breast with that knot when I prayed, and she felt the knot totally disappear under her hand. And that woman, she was screaming, crying, laughing, and everything when she came to the front. You can understand that, can't you? She was a very, very happy girl. And we were very happy for her, you know, that God had healed this woman. But we got to see Him do several things. So, but Job chapter 4, verse 8 says, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Now, stop and think about what God says. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness, they will reap the same. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. In the New Testament, let's see what Galatians 6, 7 says. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, you know, let's face it, you have no idea the impact you will have on your children. But these men and women that are out here today that are not living for God, you know, that are running around, involved in all kinds of wickedness, you know, I mean, of course, the big one today, somebody came to me here a while back and said, I ain't never heard a preacher talk about sex as much as you talk about sex. I said, well, it's the biggest sin in the church today. I mean, there's no two ways about it. It's the biggest sin in the church. There's supposed to be no sex outside of wedlock in the church. Zero, none. I mean, it's all through the book. Let not fornication be found among my children. Not even one time let this sin be named among my children. And it's like people in a church. They get saved, and what do? Go out and sleep around. And they get saved, and then they go into church, and they go out and mess around. And they run around. Even after they get married, they run around. And, of course, if they were sexually active before they got married, I can assure you one of them is going to commit adultery on the other one. It's just going to happen. God's going to see to it. He speaks a curse over you just like He does David. If David never had any problem in his life till he went out and committed sin with Bathsheba, and after that, all he had was hell in his house. And God spoke it. He told him that's what's going to happen. So, you know, if you want to have a good life, somewhere along the line, if you want to have no sickness and disease and your children not be sick, somewhere along the line, somebody's going to have to stop sinning and start working holy in obedience to God's Word. You know that, brother? That's required, isn't it? Seemed like I read somewhere he said, be ye holy. Oh, for I am holy. You read that too, haven't you, brother? I mean, did God just make this book just to be talking? No. This is an owner's manual for life. And he means exactly what he says. You know, just like the other day, I walked down here to, or didn't walk, drove down here to a parts house to get a part for my car. And a young man, when I walked in, he said, "Oh, Pastor, I got to ask you a question." Okay. He said, "I went to a funeral last week." And said there was a, the pastor asked any of us if we wanted to say anything about our friend. And he says, several of us did. And then he said, right at the very end, the woman, one of the women that came, said she was wearing a little halter top and a pair of short shorts, and she came to his funeral like that. He said, "What would you have said to her?" I said, "Nothing. I wouldn't have said nothing to her. You know, I said, your friend. I said, you're a young man. I said, your friend. How old was your friend?" He said, 36. I said, "And you went to a funeral?" I said, "Was the guy a Christian?" He said, "Well, he said he was." I said, "But what do you mean when you say he said he was? He didn't live it then, did he? If he died at 36. He said, "No." I said, "Was he sexually involved?" "Yeah." I said, did he drink some?" "Oh, yeah." "Did he do drugs?" "Oh, yeah." "Did he cuss a little?" "Oh, yeah." "He done all them things." I said, "You know what the Lord says about a man that lives like that? He says he will die early." And I said, "He died at 36. I said, "One more time, the Word of God confirms itself." See? Now, if that boy thought that living like that was going to kill him at 36, he might have changed the way he does business, right? But you know, probably nobody ever told him that in church. You know, he probably heard in church, "Oh, well, you're living under grace. You can just do anything you want to do now, and God will be forgiving, and He'll forgive you." Now, anybody ever heard that? Hey, that ain't in the book. That ain't the book I read. I never found that in there nowhere. I did read in there where that if you sin, He will afflict you and strike you. Right here He says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that also he shall reap." So, if you go around sowing love and you're good to everybody and doing good things, what do you think is going to come back to you? Love and good things. Now, if you're that little hellion and you're out there drinking and cussing and running around, sleeping around with the girls and all that kind of stuff, what do you think is going to happen to you?
Die early.
That's exactly right. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Now then, if you happen to bring one or two or three children in the world in the period of time you're sowing your wild oats, and you do that, guess what's going to happen to those kids? They're going to die and go to hell most of the time. Most of the time. There ain't no hope. Because you put a curse on those kids. And unless those kids happen to be lucky, and somebody happens to start interceding for those children. Now, if you find a great man of God that'll take on a little child, I say, who knows how old that child may be, and start praying for that child's salvation. And the earlier you start it, the quicker you will bring them into the kingdom. But if nobody prays for those little kids, guess what happened? They're going to grow up, be just like daddy. They're going to be out there doing the same dumb things, and they're going to live like that, and they're going to die. And people are going to say, what a shame. Look at that guy, 20 years old, and he got killed in a car wreck. Did he walk with God? No. But maybe he did walk with God and he still got killed in a car wreck. Well, he was under a curse. People never think about that. Just like the little lady that came here a few months ago with a mother and grandmother, and they brought a little three-year-old girl to the healing school. And they came up for prayer. And I said, what's the problem? And they said, she can't eat any kind of a nut, especially peanuts. If she eats a nut, her throat starts swelling up. And the doctor says, if we don't have this particular, whatever it was, that they had to take with them to give her, in other words, they said she could walk, if I've been eating peanuts and with my hands, and I walk up to shake hands with her, I don't have a peanut left in my hand, but I've been eating them. And I walk up and touch her. Yeah, she starts getting sick and her throat starts swelling up. I said, that's a demon. That's a demon, and it's a generational curse. I said, now somebody in y'all's background, I said, mother, it could be you, it could be grandmother, they were the only ones here, but I said, somebody in somebody's life down below that this little girl came out of had a generational curse upon them, and the curse is passed down to this child. I said, now right now today, I said, if you and mother and grandmother and y'all will all repent of your sins, I said, then I will break the curse over this little girl because Jesus made us a great promise in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, 14, and 15. Now I want you to go there. We see here in Galatians 3, 13, 14, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, all these promises in God's Word, especially all these wonderful blessings that we're talking about where all of us want to live all the time, we receive these by faith. You don't receive anything from God just accidentally. You receive it by faith. Somebody said Jesus came to save the whole world. Did he say that? I came to save the whole world? Well, is the whole world saved? Why not if Jesus come to save the whole world? They haven't received him by faith. You can walk right up and tell somebody about the best thing ever happened to you and how wonderful Jesus is and ask him, would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? And they said, no, I ain't interested in that junk. I mean, we hear that all the time, don't we? What a shame. Yeah, what a shame that these things happen to us, but yet, if we, just like this little girl, she was living under a curse, and I said, Mother, if you and grandmother will both repent of your sins, then I will take this scripture, Galatians 3, where it says, Christ has already redeemed this little girl from this curse. He bore that on the cross 2,000 years ago, didn't he, young lady? See? Now see, he done all these things for you. He saved you and you and you 2,000 years ago. But you've got to receive it by faith. Until you receive his promises, the promises of the Spirit, by faith, nothing belongs to you. But once you receive it by faith, everything belongs to you. Once you repent of your sins. So I said, now Christ has already redeemed this little girl. He's paid the price from the curse of the law because he had spoken under the curse. And of course, it's a long drawn out deal to go back to the curses. I've made at least two different teachings just in detail about the different curses. And, you know, they're both of them 3 or 4 hours long. So you can listen to those and you can learn about many, many things that happens to us in life. I mean, I've learned all kinds of things that when people start experiencing certain things, especially if somebody has 2 or 3 or 4 broke bones in their life, or they break their same foot 3 or 4 times, you're under a curse. Or if your knees are having trouble, you're under a curse. And you need to break it or you're never going to get healed. The devil has legal right to you. And women that have menstrual problems and all those kind of things, they're under a curse. But Christ has redeemed you from that. I don't know how many young women I've taught the principles that when they start into their cycle, their normal cycle to cleanse their body so they can have children, some women will come and tell them, you know, this usually comes with cramps. And so that automatically sets them up for a curse. And so they start believing, well, I guess when I have my normal monthly cycle, I'll have cramps. And lo and behold, by the time you're 20 years old, man, you got gross cramps every time you have your cycle. But you don't have to if you're a Christian. You can claim the redemption from the curse, break that curse, command that demon to leave you. And I don't even know how many young women I've seen in my life that had these cramps that come to me and said, I went home after that. I didn't even want to come up and tell you that I have them. But I went home, repented of my sins, stood on that verse, and I did it 4 months ago, 6 months ago, or a year ago, and I have never had another cramp to this day. Isn't that amazing? How that God has provided for you these things. But this little girl, her mother and grandmother didn't know this either. Although they're Christians in church, they live out in Midland. But they came here to a healing school. I prayed the prayer of faith, broke the curse, stood on these two verses, and claimed the promises of the Spirit through faith, and she would have no more problem. I said, now then, all you got to do is believe God, go somewhere, and get her some peanuts. You know what the grandmother looks at you and says? Are you sure? This is my grandbaby. I'm only as sure as God's Word. Can you trust it? Well, I don't know whether I can or not. Well, if you can't, then you got a problem. But if you believe this now and you act on it by faith, because you know faith without works is dead, right? So they left here that afternoon and went over to Texas Roadhouse for dinner. Some of you don't know what Texas Roadhouse is. Texas Roadhouse, that's all they are, is peanuts. Well, when you walk in the door, they got peanuts, don't they? I mean, barrels of them. Buckets of them sitting on the table. And they walked in that place, and the grandmother says, if we walk through that place, that my granddaughter's walking on them shells on the floor. Because there's shells all over the floor. I think they just throw them on the floor intentionally. There are shells everywhere. She said, if we walk through that place, I said, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Now, see, that's faith.
I like this. They went, better than any I've ever had.
Yeah, they went over and sat down, and that little girl started eating peanuts, and 2 months later, they came back to a healing school for the first time, and that little grandmother and that mother both is just ecstatic that that little girl can eat anything she wants to without any kind of a problem. Now, then, does God's Word work? Of course it works. It's alive. Who provided this for each one of us to break these curses? The Lord did. The Lord says, I have redeemed you from the curse. He's sitting up here right now with his arms extended telling you, I have redeemed you from the curse of the law. I became a curse for you so you can claim these promises that I've done for you. All you got to do is claim them by faith and believe my word and I will forgive you and heal you. And he will do it. And I've seen him do it over and over and over and over, just like I did for that little 3-year-old girl. But I have no idea how many times I've done that in my life for different people that were under a curse. The doctors tell you there's no healing for this, only this medicine. And she, when you're allergic to nearly everything, that's sad, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I like to be able to eat anything I want to eat, don't you? And as a son of God, I have that freedom to eat anything I want to eat with no sickness and no disease. But what have I got to do with it? Sanctify it with the Word of God in prayer with thanksgiving. How many of you sat down to drink a glass of water or a glass of tea? When Cheryl brought me this glass, did anybody see what I did the very first thing? What did I do with it? I prayed over it. I blessed it in the name of Jesus. Absolutely. Now then, and she'd already blessed it, so it had a double blessing. Hey, now, and a triple and a quadruple can't hurt, right? I mean, you can't over-bless it in the name of Jesus. Now, some things you can overdo, but you can't over-bless things in the name of the Lord. You know, so lots of people sit down to eat and drink and never tell the Lord, thank you for this food. Never say thank you for a glass of water. But he told you to sanctify everything you eat and everything you drink with the Word of God, with prayer and thanksgiving. Now then, what if you're disobedient? Hey, what you eat and drink, if it's not protected by him, it may make you sick. But if you've asked him to bless it to your physical body, I guarantee you won't ever be sick by what you eat. He will. Some people really get tickled at some of the prayers I pray. I say, Lord, put everything in this food I need and take everything out of it I don't need in the name of Jesus. After what I've seen, especially, you buy meat at the grocery store? I'm telling you, brother, when you said amen, you must know what goes in that stuff too. They feed these cows everything. You know that? And some of that stuff that's in there is harmful to your physical body. So you better pray over everything or it's going to make you sick. Now then, if Christ under the new covenant, if Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now the curse of the law is any time you sin, there's a curse out there to come get you. There's a curse of some kind that's going to come get you. But in fact, I want to take you to a couple of these curses. I'm going to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15. I'm going to hit only just a few verses in in 28:15 and on. And then we'll just, because there's too many of them to read all of them, but I'm going to read just a few of them. Deuteronomy 28:15, but it shall come to pass. Now there that is again. It shall come to pass. If God said it, it's settled in heaven forever. It can't be broken. It can never be changed. If he said this is going to happen to you, it's going to happen to you if you do what he says. If you don't do what he says. But it shall come to pass if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now then, does anybody in here want these curses to come upon you? Well, they're going to if you don't obey. Now then, He talks about being cursed when you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. And then go to verse 35, Phil. Verse 35. I want to show you one here that we've stood on many a time for people's legs, people's knees. Curse in verse 35, Deuteronomy 28, 35. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Now, who's going to afflict you with that? Who?
The Lord.
Now, surely God wouldn't do this to me.
It said it right there.
It said it right there, didn't it, Tom? I mean, that's pretty hard to miss, isn't it? They even put it in capital letters. The Lord. I mean, so when you do something wrong, who's going to smite you in the knees? The Lord. The Lord's going to smite you in the knees and in the legs and with a sore botch that cannot be healed. No, doctors can't heal this.
Incurable.
That's right. Incurable. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Now, does anybody want to live there? So when people come to us that got a problem with their legs and their knees, we always break the curse of Deuteronomy 28:35. We've had many people have problem with their knees, problem with their legs. They could not be healed. Well, somewhere along the line, there was a curse that come upon these people. And it hit them in the legs and the knees. And they've been to doctors. They've done everything. They can't get healed. They can't get rid of these pains. And then when you claim, Lord, we stand and we break the curse of Deuteronomy 28:35, where this person has been afflicted in their legs and their knees. Because how long are your legs and knees supposed to last? A lifetime. You're not supposed to have pain in your leg and your body, are you?
No.
And I mean, nobody wants to have pains in your knees and your legs. I mean, I love being able to be free of the curse, don't you? I mean, I love it. I mean, I just love it, you know, being able to be free and run and play and do the things I do. I mean, but anybody would. But he says, if you disobey me and don't do what I say, the Lord shall smite you in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed. Now then, who could heal this? God can, the same one that put it on you. He can take it off of you. Now let's go to verse 59. Let's go from here to verse 59. And I want to see this one. Then the Lord will make your plagues wonderful. You ever heard of a plague that was wonderful? That's strange, isn't it? He will make your plagues wonderful and the plagues of your seed. Now, who is your seed?
Children.
Your children. Now, all this comes upon you because of your disobedience. Because you don't serve Him, He's going to make your plagues wonderful and the plagues of your seed, even great plagues and of long continuous and sore sicknesses and of long continuous. Now, how many of you want to live there? Now, this is all curses because you have sinned. Now, then, that particular verse, Phil, verse 59 in the NLT, can you pull that up right quick in the NLT? And let's see what these wonderful plagues says in the NLT. Then the Lord will overwhelm both you and your children with indescribable plagues. Now, that's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? Now, this wonderful plague, I don't know about a wonderful plague. I don't think I ever heard of what I would call a wonderful plague. I don't want one of them wonderful plagues, do you? But over here he says, the Lord will overwhelm both you and your children with indescribable plagues. In other words, these sicknesses are so bad, you won't even be able to describe them. These plagues will be intense and without relief, making you miserable and unbearably sick. And the Lord's going to do that to you. Why is He going to do this to you? Because of sin. Because of sin. I mean, under the blessings a while ago, when we obey Him, did He promise there'd be no sickness and no disease? Now, we like that, don't we? Everybody loves that. Lord, I thank You that You promise that I'm not going to be sick. Lord, I'm breaking these curses. Okay, now then, 59, just go to verse 60 and 61 there, Phil. If you can just scroll on down to 60 and 61. If you can. He will bring against you all the diseases of Egypt that you feared, so much, and they will claim you. These diseases are going to claim you. The Lord will bring against you every sickness and plague there is, even those not mentioned in this book of law, until you are destroyed. Now, why did He do all these things to us? Because of sin. It, by not obeying Him. Is that what He said? Now then, if you obey, He promised to bless you, did He not? Let's see a few things He promised if we will obey. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 26. Proverbs 3, 1 through 26. Let's see some of the things He said here. Proverbs 3, 1. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store My commands in your heart, for they will give you a long and satisfying life. Now, how many of you like that? Obey Him and He'll give you a what? Is that what we want? Is all of us want a long and wonderful, healthy life, satisfying? That's what I'm after. Okay, verse 3 and 4. Never let royalty and kindness get away from you. In other words, be loyal. A man of integrity. Loyalty. Be loyal to your mate. The church needs to hear this. Be loyal to your mate. It don't matter what your mate says or does. You be loyal to your mate. You be loyal to God and His Word. You be loyal to your children. You be a man or woman of integrity and loyalty. And it says, wear them. And kindness. You can't be too kind, can you, as a child of God? He said, get away. Don't let these get away from you. Wear them like a necklace. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people. Do you want to find favor with God? You want Him to answer your prayer? Well, then you're going to have to do it His way. If you don't do it His way, He ain't going to do it. Then you'll find favor with both God and people, and you will gain a good reputation. Verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. In other words, this is where I get this. Your opinions don't count. Opinions are our own understanding. They're what we think this is what this means. This is my opinion about what I think God is. God is a good God, a loving God, and He would never make me sick. He would never put sickness and disease upon me. I've heard that in church. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Just like go ahead and be the mean little devil, you know, and Daddy, he's okay. He won't thank you. That didn't work either. He did spank me. Praise God. So, but it says, seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your paths. Seek His will. How many of you pray over everything you do? I might have to be here to tell you that sometimes I forget to even do that. I get out, start doing things, and forget to pray. You know, but how many times? Am I supposed to do that? No. Every day when I start my day, how should I start out? With prayer, praising the Lord, asking Him to direct my path and keep me clean and pure and holy. And He will direct my path. Then He says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom, because you can't have wisdom on your own. Instead, fear the Lord and turn your back on evil. I mean, if you see evil out there, turn your back on it. Don't hang around with people that are evil. Don't hang around with them, because they're going to get you in trouble. You are your children. If you got people you know, even family members that are evil, you be very careful with those people. Don't turn your children loose with your family members if you know one of them's evil. If they've ever made a mistake, don't trust them with your children, because you never know what they'll do. Always keep your children in your sight when they're with a family member that you can't trust, because you never know what they're going to do. You know how many little girls are molested by daddies and granddaddies and aunts, I mean uncles and all that kind of junk? Too many. Then you will gain renewed health and vitality. In other words, if you do all these things, if you're not impressed with your own wisdom and you fear the Lord and turn your back on evil, you will gain renewed health and vitality. Now, if you're sick, this is one way to get healed. Start doing what He says. Don't lean on your own wisdom. Make sure you seek God. and fear the Lord and turn your back on evil, and you will get well. Isn't that amazing? He tells us all these wonderful things. 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything your land produces. Now, how many people do you know that have taught all their life that all of your first fruits belongs to God? Everything you do, the first fruits of everything. If you want to be blessed financially, you give God the first fruits of everything you develop, and I guarantee you'll be prosperous. If you don't, you're not going to be, because you're a thief. And who's going to bless a thief? God's not going to. In fact, He's going to curse you. Do you know if you're not a tither? And there's some churches teach that you don't have to tithe under the new covenant. There's some teach that. And that's the only place in God's words where He says, I will curse you with a curse. Everywhere else He just says, if you sin, I'll curse you. But He says in Malachi 3, 7 through 11, that if you don't give me the first tenth of all your increase, I will curse you with a curse. In other words, a double whammy. But just like He says right here, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything your land produces. Then He will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with the finest wine. In other words, the first of the first. Just some people have learned that. You always give Him the first of the first and He'll bless your socks off. It cannot fail. It'll even work for unbelievers. It'll even work for unbelievers. And so many churches don't teach you tithing. You know, I mean, technically speaking, one of the requirements, if we were to ever find a church that was able to teach all of these principles that God, when you come here to this church and you get saved, now you've got to stop sinning. You've got to start walking holy in obedience to God's Word. But I haven't found a group of people yet that will obey Him. I mean, even if I teach it, some of them will not obey Him. And some of them, if they hear me teach the truth, they won't never come back. Wow, that guy's crazy. He says, I got to tithe. He said, I got to live holy. He says, I got to do this. No, I ain't saying nothing. I'm saying what the book said. But those, like I say, there's two kinds of people out there. Just like with Jesus. Those that hear this and believe it, they love me. Those that hear this and don't believe it, they hate me. But that's exactly what they did to Jesus. So, 11 and 12. My child, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you. Most of us don't even know when He's disciplining us. We don't know that He does all these things, withholds our finances, causes all these things to happen to us, disciplines us with sickness and pain in our body. We never think to repent, to see. But He says, my child, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you. The very first thing when something starts happening to you that you believe is discipline, the first thing you should do, I don't care whether it's a withholding of your finances, if your car is breaking or your washing machine's breaking or you're getting sick or whatever, you get a pain in your body, the first thing you do is say, Lord, what am I doing wrong? Because under the new covenant, you ain't supposed to have no pain. You're supposed to have power. But not pain. No sickness. No sickness under the new covenant. But almost nobody believes this. But, and don't be discouraged when He corrects you. Now then, sometimes when you repent, do you know He's going to take the switch a hold of you anyway? Have you ever had a child that you tell them not to do something? And all of a sudden you look in there just as your little son pulls your little daughter's hair and she screams and you walk in and say, Johnny, I told you not to do that. Oh, I know, Daddy, but I'm sorry, I won't ever do it again. It's easy for them to repent when they see this big old daddy coming with a board in his head, right? Daddy, I won't ever do it again. I know, son. I forgive you. Whap, whap. He gives you two or three licks anyway, right? Ooh. See, he was trying his best to beg you out of it, but God, just like this. You can sin. He'll forgive you, but He may discipline you. So if you've got a sickness or something in your life and you start standing on His Word after you repent of your sin, you start standing on His Word, don't doubt that He will restore you. Stand on His Word. I was talking to one of the gentlemen earlier that came down here and he said he had a big thing grow up on his face one time. And he was raised up a Baptist like I was. And then he learned these principles, so he started standing on God's Word. And he said that he spoke to that thing, commanded it to leave and everything, but said it took about 3 months for it to go away. But he got it done. You see? I mean, God could have taken that away just like that, couldn't he? But you know, it's amazing how when we got this thing growing on our face, how we spend more time with God in the Word. But you know, if you wake up every morning and you're perfectly normal, I mean, you got money in the bank. I'm talking about money in the bank. You got $10,000, $20,000 in the bank. You got a beautiful car out there. It's paid for. Insurance is paid up on it. Your wife's healthy. Your kids all healthy. Your house payments. Your house is paid for. Who needs God?
Yeah. They don't call them unless they think they need him.
Yeah. Who has time to pray? I mean, everything's going great. Your company's doing good. And you say, hey, who? Somebody said, you've been to church lately? Church? Oh, yeah, I used to go to church. But I don't have time anymore. And God's up there listening. And he said, you're going to need to go pretty soon because I'm fixing to make your company fail. You're putting your company before me and I don't like it. And so your company starts falling apart. And when your company falls apart and now there ain't no money and you had to lay off all your people. And then they say, well, now you had your home only half paid for. So we're going to come get your house. Yeah, you paid $100,000 on it, but you still owe another $100,000 on it. And so we're going to take it away from you. You're going to lose that $100,000. We better, honey, we better hit the floor and start praying. Oh, God says, who are you two? Lord, it's us. He said, oh, I don't know you. Lord, we're your children, Lord. We don't know what's going on here. We're broken. One of our children's sick, or I'm getting sick, Lord. He said, oh, you are you? He said, how amazing. When I blessed you with everything, you didn't have time to even talk to me. But now then that I've taken your company away from you, and I've afflicted you with sickness and disease in your body, and you can't even get out of bed to go to work, you finally found time to get back in my Word. Now, isn't that amazing? Well, don't go there. Stay in the Word all the time, right? Love Him and serve Him and be a good boy. Walk holy and obedient to His Word. And then you can be like the gentleman here walking on your 90th birthday. See, it pays good dividends to serve the King, don't it, brother? I mean, he told us before, hey, I give all the credit to Jesus while I'm 90 years old and I'm still in the health I'm in. I know a whole lot of people that ain't 90 years old that ain't nowhere and close to his health. You know that? I've seen a few of them that were young that died. But chances are, not even knowing you, I would have to say that you probably have lived a pretty clean life all of your life. Okay, so that's why you lived 90 good years.
It took me 88 years to get sick.
Wow.
All my life.
88 years and didn't have no sickness and disease. Walked in obedience to God's Word.
Just minor. And then the last 2 years, everything
was... The last 2 years, began to have a little problem. Well, now it's time to stand on the Word, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Now it's time to break the curses and all these things. Now, isn't it amazing? He says there, let's go on to the next two. Happy is the person who finds wisdom and gains understanding. For the profit of wisdom is better than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Verse 15 and 16. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Where do you get wisdom? From God. He's the only one. So if you don't pray and ask Him, you go through all of life looking for all these rubies and all this stuff, and you never get them either. She offers you life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left hand. Now, if wisdom will give you life and riches and honor, that ought to be something we're all seeking for, right? Wisdom. Okay, next two verses. She will guide you down delightful paths, and all her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. A tree of life? Hey, happy are those who hold her tightly. I want to get a hold of wisdom, and you can only get it from God. So if you don't pray and ask Him for wisdom, you ain't going to have it. So none of these things are going to work for you. Verse 19 and 20. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deep fountains of the earth burst forth, and the clouds poured down rain. Verse 21 and 22. My child, don't lose sight of good planning and insight. Hang on to them. For they will fill you with life and bring you honor and respect. Wisdom's going to fill you with life. Everybody here today is wanting life and a long, healthy life. not just life. You know, they want a long, healthy one. Next couple of verses. They keep you safe on your way and keep your feet from stumbling. Wisdom. You know, you don't have to be concerned about stumbling and falling down and breaking your leg. You can lie down without fear and enjoy pleasant dreams. That sounds good, doesn't it? I can lay down without... In fact, I had a dream the other night that was kind of unique. I'll stop right here and tell you about it. I went to bed that night and tell you I had no fear. I never have any fear. It says there, I can lie down without fear and enjoy pleasant dreams. But I had an experience the other night that was a little unique. I've never had one just like it. I was laying there sound asleep, 3 o'clock in the morning, on my back, and all of a sudden, my lovely wife, which was laying right beside me, sound asleep, I heard her scream. Now, she was asleep, but she screamed. When she screamed, naturally, it woke me up. I mean, you know, usually if a man's laying right beside his wife, she screams, it'll wake you up. So I didn't move anything except my eyes. I just opened my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, I saw something that if I was a man that lived in fear, I could have been petrified because there was a man standing right in the middle of my bed right above me looking down at me. That kind of could be scary, you know it? And then to his right was another one, and this one wasn't standing down. This one was laying prone up there beside him. I got one man like this and one man like this, and they're both right over my bed. Well, guess what I did? I said, "You guys get out of my bedroom." And then they didn't move. So I jumped out of the bed and reached up to get the big one. So I'm going to get him. And I reached right through him, and he was gone. It was a spirit being. And the little one's still there. So I jumped completely out of the bed, and I said, "I'm going to get you." And I jumped up and grabbed him. And again, he went away. And I said, "Lights! Turn on the lights!" This time Cheryl said, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm knocking everything off the dresser trying to find the lamp. And she reaches over and turned on the lights. She said, "What is wrong with you?" I said, "There was two men in our bedroom." I said, "Now I know they were spirit beings. I really don't know what they were here for, but they were here." But I said, "Obviously God let you see them in the spirit because you were sound asleep and you screamed." And she was still sound asleep, but it woke me up. And I attacked these two beings with absolutely no fear. And they left. Of course, after I lay there a few minutes and went to sleep, when I got to thinking about this, I got to thinking, "Dear God, I attacked these two guys. What is wrong with me?"
Turned out to be nothing but hot air.
No, that's right, nothing but hot air. Yeah. But you know, when you open your eyes and see two men standing there, he's as real as you are right now, A.A. I mean, that guy was standing there, standing right on my bed, right up there.
They were just a pup.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, but as far as I was concerned, if I never saw anything any more real in my life than those two men. But, you know, what would you do if you woke up two men standing right beside your bed, one of them right on top of you? Well, how would you respond?
I might want to go get a baseball
bat. Amen. Well, that's what I did. In the name of Jesus, we don't have to have any fear, do we? Scripture says we don't have, I can lie down without fear, and I can enjoy pleasant dreams. I believe with all my heart that the devil was trying to put a curse on me. I believe the devil was trying to put a curse on this ministry. But he ain't going to get it done. In the name of Jesus, he is not going to get it done. It makes no difference what God allows the devil to do, or whatever he sends him to do to this ministry to test me. I mean, I read scripture where it says, "And the Lord left so-and-so to test him to see what he would do." That's scary. Somebody said, "God would never test me like that." You ain't read the same book I've read. This book says he will test you. You know that? So be ready. God will test you. Now then, 25 and 26. You need not be afraid of disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. So if you're walking obedient to His Word, do you have to be afraid of anything? No.
No.
No, you don't. But do you ever see yourself as being the wicked? You say, "I'm a child of God." You ever think you're wicked? You think God sees you as wicked? Yes, He does.
You get in the flesh.
Anytime you get in the flesh or sin in His sight, you're wicked. And then these things will come upon you. So you got to walk in the Spirit, in His Word, all the time for all these things to work for you. Now then, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10, and then verse 20 through 27, and I'm going to show you some other things that's available to you. Proverbs 4, 10. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life.
Praise God.
Is that what we want?
Yes.
Okay, so if He says, my child, listen to me and do as I say, how are we going to know what He says unless we read His Word? And most people don't read His Word. We're not teaching our young people to read His Word. I mean, the average... We went out to a restaurant the other night. Cheryl and I had dinner. Run into a friend of Cheryl's. Had her son there. And he's a middle-aged man himself. Well, the woman was even maybe a little bit older than Cheryl is, but she had known her for several years. And she brought her lady friend and another lady friend. And so there was four of them. And Cheryl and I, we sat down at this table. And we started talking and having dinner, and immediately Cheryl and her started conversing about what's going on in their life. And this woman has lived in the business world, and where Cheryl used to live. And of course, Cheryl's now a pastor's wife. Her life's totally changed. And the other woman's still living in the world. And so she began to talk to Cheryl and tell her about her knees and how her knees were giving her problems. She could hardly walk around and all this kind of stuff. And Cheryl said, well, you're under a curse. Said, did you ever forgive your first husband for all those things He did for you? And she said, well, I think so. But she really hadn't. So we talked to her for an hour, hour and a half, whatever. And then I said, no problem. If you will confess right now to the Lord and make Him a promise, Lord, in fact, I got up and walked around by her table. I mean, around Cheryl, right against her, and said, now, young lady, I'm going to look you right and tell you that if you will obey God and you will confess your sin of unforgiveness to the Lord and you'll promise Him that you'll love your first husband, you'll love him with the love of God, I said, I guarantee I'll pray for you and the King will heal your knees. So she knelt, put her head down on the table, and she prayed and asked the Lord out loud to forgive her. So then Cheryl and I held her hands together and we prayed, rebuked, broke the curse of Deuteronomy 28:35 and all those things, and asked the Lord to be merciful to her, restore her and everything. And we thanked Him for doing it. And I said, now He has healed you. And I turned her loose. When I did, she said, wow, did you feel that go through me? I said, well, I didn't feel nothing. She said, I felt something go through me when you prayed. I said, well, it's just the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, He's just doing His thing. I said, He's healing you because you repented of your sins. And she said, you know, she started moving her right knee. She said, I don't have any pain in my knee. She pushed her chair back and she jumped up and she said, y'all, I couldn't do this. Look at this. I have no pain. We're right here in the restaurant, you know, and she's hollering. She's ecstatic. More people ought to be able to see God do those kind of things in a restaurant. You know it? She sat down for a few minutes and she said, y'all, I'm telling you, I have no pain in my knees. And she turned her chair around and got up again. She's jumping around and said, I have no pain. Now see, this is what God promised us to heal us if we forgive, right? Now she'd had all these years and we broke the curse, Deuteronomy 28:35 over her because of her disobedience. God had afflicted her with a curse in her knees and her legs. We broke the curse. Who paid the price for the curse? Jesus. Now then, by faith, once she repented of her sin, now she's back in a right walk with God. Didn't the Lord say in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, I'll forgive your sin? Didn't He say that? And then I will restore you to righteousness? Is that what He said?
Yeah.
Okay, so now then, she's in a good place to receive her healing now, isn't she? And so we prayed, and she got healed. And then after she got healed, and she demonstrated it by getting up. The little lady sitting on the other side of her son says, Brother Thurman, I have tendonitis in my elbow. Cheryl said, oh, your left elbow? She said, yeah. She said, you got some unforgiveness toward those women you work with? Yes. Oh, left arm, women, female side. So Cheryl said, if you'll forgive them and walk in love, Thurman will pray for you and God will heal you. So she repented of her sins, forgave everybody, these women that had given her trouble. Did God tell you to hold a grudge against women? No, He told you to love them, didn't He? Now, what is it we don't understand about that? I command you that you love one another. By this all men may know that you are my children. Is that what he said? So she repented. She had opened the door to the devil. I reached across the table, laid my hands on hers, and rebuked the enemy after she repented, commanded him to leave, quoted some scriptures. I said, now the Lord has healed you. And I turned her loose and she said, my lance, my arm don't hurt. Hey, does God's word work? Of course it works. And then the little girl that's sitting on my right, I turned to her, but I said, honey, anything wrong with you? No. I said, good. She said, I have a question. She said, but I have some unforgiveness toward my, I think she said her sister-in-law. But said, I don't have any problem. Why? Yeah. I said, because God is merciful. He's trying to get your attention. And tonight, he sent somebody to tell you the truth. I said, now let me tell you, girl, if you don't forgive your sister-in-law and start walking in love, I'm going to guarantee you're going to have breast cancer in your left breast real soon. She said, but Thurman, you don't know her. It's so hard. I said, is she worth having breast cancer and losing your left breast? No. I said, okay, I believe I'd ask God to forgive me and I'd love her. So we got up and walked into to another place in the restaurant and listened to some music. And in a few minutes, Cheryl and I decided it was after 10 o'clock, so we was going to come home. I needed to study. And so we got up to leave to say goodbye to everybody. And she got up when I come by. She put her ear right, her mouth right over to my ear and said, Brother Thurman, I told God I repent and I'm going to love my sister-in-law. I said, okay, praise the Lord. You know, she got to thinking about this. You know, it ain't worth having breast cancer for my sister-in-law. You know that? I don't know nobody that would be worth having breast cancer if you were a woman. And ain't nobody worth having cancer over, period. You know that? So why not do what the King says? Walk in love. Was that His commandments? See, He knew how dumb we were going to be because He said in the book of John, many times He said over and over and over, I command you to love one another. Didn't He? He didn't just say, love them. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. You know, but the thing about it is, see, God speaks to us how many times? Again and again. And then we have dreams and visions and we don't listen. And so then He has to discipline us with pain. Deep pain in our body, in our bones. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like that. I'd much rather let Him talk to me one time out of the Word, and I say, yes, Lord, I'll obey anything. Whatever you say, Dad, I'll do it. And do you think that pleases the King?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's what He says. Now then, my child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. So what do we have to do? Do what He says. Now, how are you going to know what He said if you don't read the book? You ain't going to know. You're going to have an opinion, and it ain't never going to be according to this book. Then let's go after 10. Let's go to, what verse did I say? 20 and 20 through 27. Yeah. Pay attention, my child, to what I say. Listen carefully. Have you ever had a dad say, son, come in here, I got something to tell you? And you say, yes, Dad, go ahead and tell me. No, son, sit down in the chair. Sit down. Pay attention. But Dad, I'm in a hurry, I got to go somewhere. No, 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 no. Sit right down there, we're going to have a talk before you leave. And listen, don't be thinking about what you're going to do when you get where you're going. Turn the world off and listen to what I got to say. Because Dad knows what's going to happen. Pay attention, my child, to what I say. Listen carefully. Don't lose sight of my words. Let them penetrate deep within your heart. Deep down in there. For they bring life and radiant health to anyone who discovers their meanings. Now, what is it going to give you, this long, good life and radiant health? The Word of God. The Word of God. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects how many things you do? Everything you do comes out of your heart. Everything. Wow. Verse 24 and 25, avoid all perverse talk. How much?
All
perverse talk. Is it going to have to be careful what you say? Stay far from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Now see, this is God's Word. 26 and 7. Mark out a straight path for your feet, then stick to the path and stay safe. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Now, there's some pretty good instructions right there from our dad, isn't it? And that's where those come from our Heavenly Father. He's writing them to us, His children, telling us what to do. Hide these words in our heart. Walk holy before Him. Obey Him. Now, does that make any difference if you're 5 years old or 70 years old? Does it make any difference?
No. But, you know, the whole thing, if you love the Lord and keep all His commandments, you've just about covered all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you walk holy in obedience to His Word, then you can be like this gentleman. He said, as he walked holy and obedient to God's Word, he walked 88 years with no sickness and no disease. Now, that's a great testimony to the Lord. You know that? Ain't a whole lot of people I know ever met that criteria. Obviously, he knew something at a young age I didn't know, because I didn't reach that getting to where I could walk without sickness till I was 45. But from 45 to 70, I've done it. Praise the King. So, I'm going to keep on going there too. I ain't changing. I've found something that works. I'm going to stay with it. You know, if God told me to put Him first and all these things, hide that Word in my heart, walk holy before Him, don't talk evil about nobody. I mean, watch what you say and everything. I'm going to do everything I can to obey everything in this book, because I don't like sickness and pain in my body. Nobody does. I want a long, healthy life. Now then, let's go to a few places here that will show us what we can do as children of the King. Let's go to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 through 28. And let's see what the King says there in Matthew 15, 22 through 28. A Gentile woman who lived there came to Him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter has a demon in her and it is severely tormenting her." Now, when's the last time you've seen somebody come to church and say, "Pastor, I need you to deal with my daughter. She's got a demon."
I ain't never heard.
Now, we don't even think like that, do we? But see, this woman was smarter than we are. This is 2,000 years ago. Today, we're too scientifically educated to believe that there's demons. But this Gentile woman who lived there came to Him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter has a demon in her, and it is severely tormenting her." But Jesus gave her no reply. Somebody say, "What? That's not Jesus." I mean, if a woman comes up and starts begging the King, you know He would stop and at least talk to her. He's compassionate. Well, that's not what the Scripture says. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then His disciples urged Him to send her away. "Tell her to leave," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." This woman had a need, and the King ain't even paying no attention to her. Verse 24 and 25. Then He said to the woman, "I was sent only to help the people of Israel, God's lost sheep, not the Gentiles." But she came and what? Ooh, there's the secret word. She came and worshiped Him and then pleaded again, "Lord, help me." If you don't get your answer the first time, what do you need to do? What?
Worship the Lord.
Hey, if you really want to get an answer from the King, you bow down, humble yourself before Him and start worshiping Him. I guarantee He'll answer your prayer. Now, if you think I'm Mr. Somebody.
King James, He called her a dog.
Yeah, oh yeah, He did. Yeah, He really did. He called her a dog. Verse 26 and 27. "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs," He said. "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs are permitted to eat the crumbs that fall beneath their master's table." Now then, if you come to me pleading and ask, this is a little lady sitting in front, she's got a big smile on her face. She comes to me pleading and everything and worshiping me and said, Pastor, please will you heal me? I said, woman, you ain't nothing but a dog. Ooh, most women will tell you where to get off. But if she says, I know, but even the dogs, she's agreeing with me. Even the dogs, I know I'm a dog, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master table. You moved his hand. She moved his hand, didn't she? She was in total agreement with him. Now then, if a woman, see, he used this for a woman because he knows that these ladies he made, how hard it is for them to worship him and do this, even whenever something bad is said to you. No woman wants to take something like this laying down.
How many women do we have in this day that would be what she
did? Very few. Probably in that day they had very few also. But this one was one of them. She had a very deep need. And she was very interested. And she was even willing to worship him and let him call her a dog and agree with him that she was a dog if he had just helped her daughter. Look what he did. Verse 28 and 29. Woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. Now see there, was it worth her staying in there? It was worth it, wasn't it, young lady? I mean, you stayed in a state of worship and you stayed, Lord, I praise you and thank you. And Lord, you can call me anything, Lord. I don't care what you call me, but I'm your daughter and I'm standing on your word and I'm not doubting. And he says, woman, you have great faith. And when the king says you have great faith, what can you get from the king when he says you have great faith? Anything. Everything. He will heal you. He will do anything if you can get through to him. There is a principle here that everybody needs to see. If you have a need from God, what's the first thing you need to start doing that you're not doing enough of? Worship. That's exactly right. He loves you to worship him. Spend time with him. Love him and worship him. Don't be hesitant. Praise him and worship him. When you go into a restaurant to eat, you praise him and worship him over the food. You don't do like I heard a pastor the other day. He said something about, I was sitting at a table and waited for these other pastors to come in. They come in and started eating. I said, hey, wait a minute, guys. We haven't blessed the food. They said, we blessed the food out in the car before we come in. We thought we might offend somebody.
A lot of people bless it, but they don't thank him for it.
Well, but I'm going to tell you, God didn't receive that. I don't believe the king. You were ashamed of him. You were blessing the food in the car. You were afraid you were going to offend somebody in the restaurant. Hey, if you're afraid you're going to offend somebody in the restaurant, forget it. Don't ask God to do nothing for you. He ain't going to. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. Isn't that something? Hey, you cannot be ashamed of the king. Woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Now, I can't think of a better thing for God to say to a sick woman than to say, woman, your faith is great. Whenever the king says that to you, what did he do for this one? She got her answer right there. And her daughter was instantly healed. Now then, let's go to Matthew 16:19. Let's look and see what he says in Matthew 16:19. Verse 16:19, he says, Jesus said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you lock or bind on earth will be locked or bound in heaven. And whatever you open or loose on earth will be open or loosed in heaven. Now, you know who this is for? This right here is for the obedient child of God. If you're a disobedient child, this ain't going to work for you. All these wonderful promises that he give us, all the way down from the very beginning we started today, everything he said always was based around, obey me. Was that what he said?
Obey my commands.
Obey my commands. So you think God that was then has changed today? He's the same yesterday. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus, it was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. So if he demanded that we obey him 5,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago, he demands we obey him today.
You love me, keep my commandments.
That's what he said, brother. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then all these great and awesome promises belong to you. Now let's go to Matthew 17:20. And let's see what 17:20 says. Now, the question was asked here, Lord, why couldn't we get this done? And he said, you didn't have enough faith. And when we don't get something done, what's wrong with us? We don't have enough faith. Jesus told, I assure you, Jesus, even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and only a few things would be impossible with you. Oh. We must read this different than it's written. What's impossible to you if you're walking in obedience to His Word and have faith?
Nothing.
Nothing. So what does that say about us? How much faith do we have? Not very much. Very little. And that's a shame to us as men of God that we don't believe God will do these wonderful things, so we don't pray in faith. And so when we don't pray in faith, He don't show up. He's a faith God. He does not honor the prayer of unbelief. Or He does not honor a prayer of somebody that's not walking holy before Him. So you woke up this morning and you had... Just I'll tell you the story about... Since this gentleman here is got his 90th birthday. This wasn't about him, of course. But it was a gentleman that was about 75 years old. And he came to my church one day and he says, Pastor, can I give a testimony today? I said, sure, no problem. He gets up and he said, you see that woman right back there? I said, yes, sir. He said, that woman right there where I sat, and I've been married to her 50 years. I said, praise God. But he said, a couple of weeks ago, he said, me and her have been coming to your church. But said, a couple of weeks ago, she and I had a very serious disagreement one night. Now, you wouldn't think anybody who'd been married 50 years have a serious disagreement, would you? I guess it don't make no difference how long you've been married. Sometimes you have disagreements, right? Sometimes we forget who we are as children of God. And we let the flesh raise up. So he said, I got mad at her, and he said she wouldn't do what I wanted to do, and I got so mad at her. He said, then I just went ahead and went to bed, and I went to bed mad. He said, the next morning I woke up, and down my left side, my back, I had a tremendous pain in my leg and my back. And he said, I got up and couldn't hardly get out of bed. And I walked out, I thought, uh-oh, now I've been listening to what Pastor Thurman says. He said these pains are demons. Now he said that God said in His Word, I have authority over the demons. Somebody said, you got authority over demons? I want you to see what Luke 10, 19 and 20 says right here. Look at this. Luke 10, 19 and 20. Look at this scripture. And I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, the devil, and you can walk among snakes, the devil, and scorpions, demons, and crush them, and nothing will enter you. But don't rejoice just because these evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered as citizens of heaven. He said, I remembered that verse. So he said, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus, you got to come out of me now in Jesus' name. He said, when I said that, oh, it put me on the floor almost. Oh, he said, it hurt worse. He said, whoops, I don't know what this is, but something don't work. Oh, he had forgot that. And so he said, okay, God, what did I do wrong? He said, immediately it came to my spirit, you went to bed angry last night. Did I tell you if you go to bed angry, you will give place to the devil? He said, okay, Lord, I'm so sorry that I went to bed angry last night. I ask you to forgive me for going to bed angry. Now, he said, I rebuked the devil again, and it put me on the floor again. I said, okay, God, what did I do wrong this time? And he said, it came to me, I told you to love that woman like I love the church, and you didn't. Okay, God, I'm sorry. So he goes into his wife and said, honey, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me for getting angry with you last night? And she said, of course, no problem. He said, okay, now then. I said, Lord, I got right with my wife. I got right with you. I mean, he's really searching the scriptures now. Then he said, okay, Lord, I believe I got all sin taken care of. I got the anger problem taken care of. Okay, Lord, is there anything else? He said, I didn't hear nothing else. I said, okay, Lord, I rebuked that spirit and said, that Thurman, that thing instantly left and all my pain was gone. I was totally instantly healed. Yep. Now, isn't that amazing? Do you think he learned a great lesson that night?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you know what the average guy does? He gets mad at his wife. Goes to bed angry, gets up the next morning, got a serious pain in his left leg and his back. What does he do? He has his wife drive him to the chiropractor.
Yeah.
never thinks about repenting of his stupid sin. Isn't that awful? It's awful. And where does this pain and stuff come from? From God. He just reached down there and said, "Devil, take one of your little boys over there and get him. I told him to love that woman, and he knows better. He's my son. He's been there for all these years. He's been married to that girl for 50 years. He's been my son for many years. He knows better. So go over and give him a good spanking." Did God discipline his children with pain in their bones?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. He sure does. Somebody said, "God would never do this to us." Oh, yes, he will. And he's merciful. When you repent, he forgives you. And you get rid of that. But isn't this an awesome promise? If you walk in obedience to God's word, how much power do you have over the devil? Ooh. And those evil spirits have to be subject to you. So when you speak to them in the name of Jesus, what do they have to do if you're walking in obedience to his word? They have to go. That's exactly right, young lady. They have to go. See, that's why Jesus told you this promise. Think about what he said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Now, we taught this in the Baptist church. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. "And he said unto them," Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Okay, here we go. Mark 16, 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, we in the Baptist church, we believe that. And we sent out missionaries. We were a good mission organization. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Boy, we could preach those two verses. I mean, we could hit them. You know what I mean? Almost all churches are preaching first two, won't they? But the next two, we never covered the next two, 17 and 18. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." I guess the reason we didn't preach it, because we didn't believe they'd follow us. Because I didn't know it, because I never heard this until I started reading this book on my own. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now then, I will have to say, after I got back from Detroit last week, there was a pastor from a church up there called me. He said, "Brother, I went over the next morning after you left. I heard about your teaching. I got a copy." He said, "I bought a copy of the teaching because the church up there sold it. I give them away, but they sold it." And he said, "I listened to that CD and said, I come home, got on my face and repented to God and said, 'God, I'm sorry.'" Because he said, "I didn't believe this book." And he said, "I have not walked where you've walked, but I want to walk there." So he said, "I had to come home, get on my face before God and tell him, 'I'm sorry, Lord, that I didn't believe these promises.'" Especially as a pastor. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." Now, when can you cast out a devil? When do you get a devil? Somebody said, "A Christian can't have a devil." Oh, sure you can. When you sin, what happens? A devil comes in. And if you don't get him out, guess how long he stays? As long as he wants to. Maybe forever. You get him, he stays. And sometimes you'll get them when you're young, and they won't manifest till they're old. Because the Lord told us in the book of Proverbs, clearly, he's talking about the prostitute. He said, "Men, don't go down to her house. Hell is in her pathway." And he says, when you go to her pathway, he says, "The end of your life you will have given to the cruel, the devil. And he will destroy your body with sickness and disease." But he's going to do it in the end of your life. You know what that is? A young man. Do you know a young man went off somewhere and messed around with prostitutes somewhere in some foreign country or Mexico or in the war and all kinds of things, and come home and didn't know for 10 or 20 years that they had syphilis. You know that? And then all of a sudden one day it manifests. Now they've been faithful. They're married. They're living with their wife. And they come down with syphilis, and the rest of their life is awful as they lose their mind and all the things it does to them. And they suffer a wicked death over probably from 50 to 70 years of age. And yet the woman never got it. And I've had women ask me, "How come he had it and I didn't get it?" I said, you were protected because you'd never been unfaithful. Although your husband slept with you all those years, had sex with you, you didn't get that demon, that venereal disease, because you had been a faithful wife. So by being a faithful wife, that sickness cannot touch you. Isn't that awesome? But see, I'll take you to a scripture to confirm this. After he says here we can cast out devils, after people repent of their sins, when if you get them to repent of their sins, you can cast these devils out of them. And then it says you can take up the devil. You can. It says you can also speak with new tongues there. It said, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you, and you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I've laid hands on many, many a sick person. But let me take you to 1 John 5:18, and I want to show you something here that will confirm what I was saying about why the woman didn't get the disease, but the man did. Now, he was off in a foreign country committing adultery. Was he living in sin? Yes, adultery is sin. And he got a demon. He got syphilis. And then he come back home and lived with his wife for years, and she never got it. But yet she was a Christian woman, loved God, went to church, raised the children up in the love and admonition of the Lord, and she was a totally faithful daughter of the King and never walked in no kind of sin. Walked holy before God. We know that whosoever is born of God does not sin. Now see, this is a great promise, isn't it? If you're born of God, how much sin are you supposed to have? None. No. We know that whosoever is born of God does not sin. I mean, it's really clear there. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, in other words, from evil, and the wicked one touches him not. In other words, the devil was living in her husband. He had a venereal disease. She's having sex with her husband, but that devil cannot get into her because she's living holy. That's good news, isn't it? That's one case that his sin cannot be passed to her. Now then, what if she had opened the door through some kind of sin? Then she's going to get it too. She's going to have it too. That's why it's important to do what God says. He clearly says there, we know that whosoever is born of God does not sin. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself from all sin. And then that wicked one, who do you think the wicked one is? The devil. That's clear, isn't it, brother? The wicked one touches him not. Wow. Now, do you want to be protected by the Lord? Now, let's go to Psalms 91, and we'll quit the day on Psalms 91. We'll go to Psalms 91. We're going to take these scriptures here, and I'm going to show you what's available to you. Let's use it in the King James. Psalms 91 in the King James. Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Of course, that means he or she. That's a person. Whoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High. How do you dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Stay in the Word. Absolutely. Stay in the Word. Walk in love. Obey His commands. Do what He says. All these things. Walk holy before God. And He says, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, then nobody can dwell in the secret place of the Most High in the sanctuary of God except they meet all of His requirements. Now, I'm going to show you, I'm going to take you from right here to Psalms 15, and I'm going to show you some of the requirements to dwell in that secret place. Psalm 15, and we'll come back to Psalms 91. Psalms 15 says, verse 1, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill, or in your sanctuary? Who shall dwell with you? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. These are some of the requirements. Not all of them, but these are some of them. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Verse 3 and 4. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. Got to watch that tongue. That thing will ruin you. That tongue can be your best friend or your worst enemy. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. You got to love your neighbor. Does that sound like something we read in the New Testament where the Lord says, by this all people shall know that you're my children, by your love one for another? That fits that, doesn't it? In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. In other words, you take a vile person, you know that person vile, and you're not going to even have that vile person in your house. You're going to let them in there. If you know they're wicked, you're going to stay away from them. You may go and minister to them, to talk to them, but you ain't going to invite them to dinner. You ain't going to have them in your house. You ain't going to call Jack or John or Bob or Susie tonight and say, Susie or Bob, let's go down to the bar. You know they're vile. You know they're wicked. You know that's where they hang out. You ain't going down there with them. If they go, you let them go. But you're going to call evil evil and righteous righteousness. It says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. Now all those people that fear God, that say they're born again Christians, you need to honor them. Says, if you honor them, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. In other words, if something happens to you, you're not even going to return that. You're not going to say anything evil about those people. And if somebody says something, and you make a, let's say you tell somebody, I will do this for you. I will buy that car from you. And I don't care what happens, I'll give you $500 for that little car. So you tell them you're going to give them $500, and then you go over there and look at it, and something bad has happened to it, and you said, this car ain't worth $100. But you don't even say that. You said, well, I promised you I'd give you $500 for it on the phone. I should have come looked at it in the first place. I promised you $500. Here's the $500. Now, that's a man of integrity. You know that? You think God's going to honor that? Sure He will. He'll bless your socks off. Now, if you go over and look at it and say, hey, this is a piece of junk. You know, you should have come looked at it before you promised them $500. Is that right? If you make a promise, be a man of your word. Do not change. Now then, verse 5. He that putteth not out his money to interest, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now, if you loan money to a Christian brother or sister, how much interest can you charge them? Well, you can charge them all the interest you want to, but if you do, you won't be able to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Is that right? Well, you can charge them interest if you want to, but you ain't going to be able to dwell in this secret place when you're loaning money to your brothers and sisters in Christ and charging them interest. What does the world do? You're in need. You come to me and I'm your friend. You and I, you've been a man of means, I'm a man of means. You get in a bad place and you need $500. You come to me and say, Thurman, I got some money coming in, but I got to have $500 between now and next Monday. I said, okay, no problem. I'll give you $500 next Monday. You pay me back $6. What a buddy. What a buddy. With buddies like me, you don't need no enemies, do you? But is that the way the world treats each other? Oh, sure. Yeah. It's all about money in the world. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, brother? But see, is that God's way of doing things? No. God's way, you come to me and say, brother, I'm in dire need of $500. I said, that all you need? Yeah, that'll get me through till next Monday. I got some money coming. Here's $500. Okay, next Monday you come back and say, here's your $500 back. Just exactly what you said. Or if Monday it didn't come through, you said, call me on Monday and say, brother, it didn't happen like I thought. It's probably going to be Tuesday or Wednesday. But as soon as that money comes in, I'm going to bring your $500 back. I said, no problem, no problem, no problem. I trust you completely as my brother in Christ. What I've always told everybody in the body of Christ, don't ever let anybody have any money that you can't afford to lose it for your brother and sister in Christ.
That's right.
You know? If they say, I need $1,000, if you can give them that $1,000, if they say, I'm going to pay you back, you let them have that $1,000, but if they don't loan it to them in the first place. If you can't afford to go on without that $1,000, don't give it to them. But if they need it, give it to them with the intent that I may never get that back. And if they don't pay me back, I am not going to get crossways with them. It ain't worth going to hell for a few measly paper dollars. You know that? So you can't charge your brother and sister interest. Now then, go back to Psalm 91. we see a few of the requirements to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Back to Psalm 91. Now let's go to verse 3 and 4. Verse 2 says there, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, and He's my fortress, He's my God, and Him will I trust. See, you've got to be willing to tell people. You know how many people I walk up to in a place of business or something, and I say, hey, brother, you're a Christian? You know what I mean, don't you, brother? You know, I mean, I got to tell you, since Eldon's sitting over here, me and him went over to Home Depot here a while back when we were buying material for this building. And we had a special deal to get 10% off. And we thought we'd get 10% off the whole deal. We didn't know it was only up to $2,000 worth. No. So he and I went over there together, and we shopped in Home Depot for 5 hours. And we bought over $5,300 worth of stuff, material for this building, thinking we were going to get a full 10% discount. And we went to check out. We had cart after cart after cart. And we started checking out. And as we did, the very first man, that was one guy right in front of us, as I pulled up and started checkout, he says, I thought I was bold with the Word of God until I met you and that guy over there. He said, everywhere I've been in this store today, I've heard one of you two talking about Jesus. He said, I ain't never seen two men in my life as bold with the Word of God as you two men are. He said, you'd holler, Eldon, I need you over here. Where are you? And he'd say, he'd be over there and say, I'm over here, Thurman. I'm trying to tell these two ladies about Jesus. I'll be over there in just a minute. Or two men or whatever. He said, you guys were evangelizing everybody in this store. He said, everywhere I went today, I heard you guys talking about Jesus. He said, I thought I was bold, but I ain't nowhere close to where you guys are. But he said, I'm going to get there. I thought, wow. We were being a witness for Jesus in Home Depot, and we didn't even really know it. But that guy, I guess everybody in there that day knew it, didn't they, Eldon? The way he said, everywhere I went in this store. I mean, we were talking about Jesus. Now, what did the Lord say? You must be willing to say of the Lord, He's my refuge, He's my strength, He's my God. If you're ashamed of Him, you're in trouble. In Him will I trust. Verse 3 and 4. If you do those things, and look what He says He'll do for you. Surely He, God, shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler or the devil. Now, if Jesus delivers you from the snare of the devil, what do you have to worry about the devil?
Nothing.
Nothing. Don't have a problem. In other words, if you're dwelling in the secret place with Him, is God going to let the devil get you? Nope, not at all. And He not only is going to deliver you from the snare of the devil, but He's going to deliver you from the noisome pestilence, the raging epidemic. In other words, the raging flu that comes through, or the bubonic plague, or anything else that comes through, He's not going to let it touch you if you're dwelling in the secret place with Him. It's a promise from God, right there. Isn't that awesome? He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Verse 5 and 6. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Do you know there's terror out there? The devil is out there about his business 24/7. And it's going on. Invisible battle is going on all around you and I every day. And it can't touch us as long as we walk in obedience to His Word. Now then, if you're not walking in obedience to His Word, the arrow that flies by day, who do you think fires that arrow? The devil. Do you think he could hit you? Oh, yeah. Pull that thing back and turn it loose and one of his arrows will get you. If you're living in sin, he can shoot that arrow into you. And when he shoots that arrow into you, it's going to put sickness and pain in your body. He just fired a demon inside your body. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence or the sickness and disease that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. I mean, so far I like this, don't you? I'm totally protected up till now. Verse 7 and 8. A thousand shall fall at my side. What if I'm a soldier in the war? Oh, 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near Thurman, Bob, Jack, Susie, Jane. Put your name in there. I claim these promises. And then he says, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now, you may get close enough to see it, but you do not want it to come near you, do you? No. Verse 9 and 10. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation or your dwelling place, there shall how much evil befall you? None. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague or any sickness come near to your dwelling. Now, what do you got to do to make all this happen? Obey God's word. Verse 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. In other words, if you're walking totally in obedience to God's word, you can't even stumble and fall down and hurt yourself. Do you know that? Is that what that said? Verse 13 and 14. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample underfoot. Who do you think this group of guys are? Demons. Satan and his host of demons. All these different. You know, here he's labeled several of them. He says the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. Of course, that's the devil himself. He says you shall trample him underfoot. Paul told us clearly over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, about the different principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness we're fighting against. So if we put on all the things he said there, we don't have to worry about him either. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. You know the name of Jesus and you walk holy. He will take care of you. Verse 15 and 16, the last two verses. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Now you can, if you're walking holy and obedient to God's word, you can call upon him and he will talk to you. I've had him speak to me many times in my life. And I'm sure many of you in here have had him talk to you. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. With what kind of a life?
Long.
What's a long life? What's a long life? Is 50 years a long life?
No.
70 years a long life?
No.
90 years a long life?
No.
I'm telling you, that's why I said that, because you, the only man in this room that's lived 90 years, and you can tell us it seems like it's awful short, doesn't it?
Right.
90 years have probably gone by. You wonder, where did they go to?
I'm going to Europe in September.
Amen. You're going to live another 90.
Right.
In the name of Jesus.
I'll live forever.
But you know, I mean, I'm coming up on my 70th birthday, and when I was 20, and you told me somebody's 70. In fact, my dad was 50 when I was 15. My dad was 35 years older than me. And I thought, gee, when he was 50 and I was 15, I thought, gee, Dad's old. You know what I mean, right? But when you get to be 50, ooh. And then when you get to be 60 and then you get to be 70. The other day, Cheryl, of course, she's 60. And the other day she said, you know, talking about a woman. She said, you know, that woman's old. She's 60. She said, what am I saying? I'm 60. But see, she don't see herself as 60. She still sees herself as a young woman. That's just like me. I don't. Yeah, it's in the heart. I don't, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
That's right.
And that's what she thinks. She thinks young, just like me. You know, in fact, her and Krista come down to where I was welding on this building down here. I'm building me a hangar to put the airplane in right down there in the pasture where I built me a runway. And Krista, I don't think she could believe this. She come down and here I am, wrapped around a beam up there about 20 feet off the ground with one leg and got this leg here and I'm out here kind of holding one hand and got the welder welding a beam on there. She said, would you look at him? Cheryl said, yeah, he's the youngest man I know.
You know, if you don't think you're as young as you feel, go to a high school reunion and look at some of those.
Oh, I know. I went to one of those here a while back. That's right. We went to a 50th reunion and oh, are some of those guys old. Oh, they're old. Ooh,
and
you know.
A lot of them are not here anymore.
Oh, I know. A whole lot of them are not, yeah. But do you know what the difference is? the ones that have stayed young, we're going. In fact, I said I'd quit on that, but let's finish up on one last verse, Phil. Let's go to 103, verse 4 and 5. We covered 1, 2, and 3, but Psalm 103, verses 4 and 5, and we're going to finish on those two. It says, He redeems our life from destruction when we walk in obedience to the Word. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, if the King is renewing my youth like the eagles, especially you women, I mean, us guys too, though, you start claiming that. Lord, I'm a young woman. I don't need all this stuff. I speak to my skin. I command the oil to flow like they're supposed to, the natural oils, so my skin is smooth and soft and beautiful in the name of Jesus. Don't look at yourself and say, oh, look at me. I got a wrinkle right. Oh, gosh, I'm getting so old. Your body hears that. It hears that and responds to that. You know, look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, Lord, thank you for this beautiful skin. You're renewing it like the eagles. Woo, thank you, Lord. I got such beautiful, smooth skin in the name of Jesus. Somebody said, I would never do that. Okay, grow old if you want to. I'm just going to do what God told me to do in His Word. You know, I'm not being arrogant or nothing about the Word. I'm just saying, hey, if He said it, I'm going to do it. And it does bring forth good results, doesn't it, brother? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You one more time for a beautiful day, another healing school. And Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for showing the people what causes sickness and disease and the things we need to do to get rid of it. And Lord, You said when we repent of our sin, You heal all of our diseases. And Lord, You said if we have faith under this new covenant, nothing is impossible with us. So Lord, thank You for, under the new covenant, for giving Your children all this power and knowledge and grace and wisdom, that if we'll walk in obedience to Your Word, You'll do great and mighty things with us. You've entrusted us with everything that was Jesus. You said You give it to us, and we ought to be doing the same things He was doing, and You're conforming us into His image. So, Lord, I praise You and thank You for Your Word. And now, Lord, as people come forth to be prayed for, they ask you to forgive them, that You forgive them, and then You heal or meet every need of everybody today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, like you say, like you already know, the materials out there is all free. Take whatever you want, and then come up. We will pray for you.
May I say something to the group?
Sure, yeah. This young man wants to say something to you all. Okay. It's on, sir. Just hold it up close. Now, you got to hold it close to your mouth. Yeah, yeah. When I say hold it close to your mouth, I mean close.
For over 7,000 mornings, including this morning, this is my daily confession. I am of the body of Christ. I am redeemed from the curses. For Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases in His own body. And by His stripes, I'm healed. And I forbid any sickness, disease, or accident to operate on or in my body in the name of Jesus. Therefore, every artery, bone, cartilage, cell, disc, gland, joint, ligament, muscle, nerve, organ, sinew, tendon, tissue, vein, vertebral, blood, and skin functions in the perfection that God created it to function. I honor God and bring to Him glory in my body in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for a healthy body, a healthy mind, and a healthy attitude toward others, and a growing love for You and my neighbor. Thank You, Lord, for all Your blessings. You have truly made me a blessed person in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, and you can't fight against results. He's got 90 good years to prove it works. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.